cela. Parce qu'il fallait une guerre.
Oh, you didn't know? It's me. It's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TTP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel bang!
I am the genius of the glory and renown, Lanny Poppins.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Morant.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
You are now jacked in to the virtual matrix. Please stand by for all the latest in professional wrestling, video gaming, movies, and entertainment with Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com and the latest in video gaming with the sensational sequel.
What?
Yes, he's back. And here is your host,
the Force is strong with you. Henceforth, you shall be known as
Mr. Money on the Mic, J.J. Sexy.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth.
One pound for the house, man. That's all we need, baby. One for the house.
Oh, oh,
come on.
Pimp juice.
Guys, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. And you really want to put your feet on my rug, don't you? I haven't heard that song in forever, and I thought, what the hell? Let's listen to some Nelly tonight. Let's throw out some Pimp Juice. But we have a big show planned for you guys tonight. I think this is the first Unplugged that hasn't been unscathed in weeks. So barring that we don't lose power tonight, I'm going to knock on wood there. Barring that nothing catastrophic happens and that the gods are not against me tonight, we might actually have a show. I know it's crazy. But we do have a lot to cover tonight. We're going to be talking what happened on tonight's edition of SmackDown, going into, of course, this Sunday's Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view. Of course, for those of you that don't know, I will be covering that show alongside the Misses, Harmony, Boom Boom, Sexay, Mark the Shark, DiCarlo, and the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog, for another edition of Sunday Night Showdown. And TLC will also stand for other things, not just tables, ladders, and chairs. There'll be a lot of talking, there'll be a lot of liquor, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot of comedic relief on the show. So definitely tune in this Sunday night to check out SNS presenting you with TLC. Like I said, we're gonna review SmackDown. I'm going to talk about some of the things that went down going into the TLC pay-per-view. Chris Kelly of headlocks2headlines.com is going to be jumping on the show to talk the latest news of the week. And I know Sean has to work tonight, so it doesn't look like we're going to have Sean for a video game segment, but in hour number two, I am going to finally, after all the delays, discuss WWE 12, my thoughts on the game. I've had a chance to play a lot of extensive online over the last week or so with the Trey Dog and with several others like Canadian Horseman and Deadeye. So I will discuss our progress on that. I want to talk about the Fantasy Warfare project that I'm working on going forward. It's going to be something that we highlight on this network once a month, especially on this show Unplugged. So a lot to cover in a short time to get it done. So I don't want to waste any more time. Let's go ahead and jump into SmackDown. All right. We start things off on SmackDown with the five-time WCW champion, of course, Booker T, who is now, if you didn't know, an announcer with the WWE, working Raw and SmackDown on occasion, but mainly SmackDown. This kind of is Booker's response as to what's been going on between him and Cody Rhodes as of late. He's interviewed, of course, by Josh Matthews, and says that, you know, he's looking forward to his match this Sunday. He hasn't felt like this in a long time. Josh Matthews asks, well, going forward, is this, you know, are you going to be back in the ring full time, or is this just a thing? And he goes, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, and says, you know, again, he feels better than he's ever felt before, and on Sunday he's going to become the next Intercontinental Champion. Of course, as he's nearing the end of the interview segment, we hear that old familiar music as Cody Rhodes comes down to the ring and basically says that Booker is, you know, reciting a fairy tale. That's not the way it's going to happen. I love the fact that Cody continues to call Booker announcer. I love the disrespect factor and the fact that, yes, he is a former world champion. He is a former multiple tag team champion. He's held the Intercontinental belt. He's been a United States champion. He's done all that. But now Cody Rhodes just considers him an announcer, and I love how that's being played up here. But he says that Booker's rusty, and reality is that Cody is going to beat him on Sunday, and that's pretty much the way it's going to go down. Cody says that the last couple of weeks, Booker has interfered in his matches with Daniel Bryan. He talked with Teddy Long, and if Booker interferes in his match with Daniel Bryan tonight, then he's going to be suspended and he will lose his shot at the Intercontinental Championship on Sunday. which leads us to our first match of the night. Let me say, I love this segment. I'm really looking forward to what Booker and Cody can do. You know, Cody's a guy that when he first started, I really didn't see much for this kid. But over the last year or two, I think Cody has blossomed into one of the best in-ring performers on the SmackDown brand. His promos to me are... How do I say this? His promos to me still kind of lack a little bit. It seems like not only Cody Rhodes, but there's a rash of people in the WWE, and if Bronx were here, he'd probably say something about that's attributed to Kelly Kelly. But No, it seems to me like there's a rash of people that kind of steal ideas from Chris Jericho. You know, Miz is now talking slow, like Jericho was doing. Cody's kind of doing it. So it just seems like the originality factor is kind of gone here. But, you know, so the promo-wise, I'm not real big on Cody, but the in-ring stuff has been fantastic. Anyway, moving on to our first match, Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan. This is a really good match. I say even possibly match of the night. I enjoyed the hell out of it, watching Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes tear it up in the ring. And in the end, we see Cody... hit the crossroads and get the win on Daniel Bryan. You know, here's a guy in Daniel Bryan that just can't seem to catch a break. You know, he's the Money in the Bank winner. He's got this world championship opportunity. He cashed it in, and unfortunately for him, it didn't happen, and the decision was reversed, and he gets to keep his money in the bank. But on top of that, he's pretty much lost every match I've seen him on since he won Money in the Bank. I mean, at some point, are we going to believe that he's actually championship material, that he can actually go the distance? Or is Daniel Bryan slated to be that guy that's going to be the first to lose his championship opportunity in Money in the Bank? Some would say that's already happened. But since he's still Money in the Bank champion, he still has the briefcase, technically it really hasn't. Moving on, Alicia Fox versus Natalya was our next match. Not really much to talk about here. It happened. I mean, if you blinked, you missed it. Alicia Fox gets the win here. Because she got, I guess, Alicia Fox outfoxed Natalya. For lack of a better term. But yeah, if you blinked, you missed it. It's crazy. Because Alicia basically just rolls up Natalya for the win. You know, whatever happened to the Divas of Doom? They were supposed to be this imposing force, you know? They're supposed to run roughshod over the Divas. They lose more matches than they win. It's entirely ridiculous to me. Next up, we have a backstage segment where Jack Swagger and Vicky Guerrero are basically talking amongst themselves when they are graced by the presence of the World Heavyweight Champion, Mark Henry. He basically tells Jack Swagger to go out and hurt the Big Show's ankle. And Henry says he wants Show to be hurt like Henry was hurt by the Big Show. So Swagger says that he's the next World Heavyweight Champion. And, of course, this pisses off Mark Henry, who, instead of getting into an altercation, just kind of walks away. Pretty good backstage segment, in my opinion. It seems like they're trying to kind of repackage Jack Swagger, trying to rebuild him up. I guess that's the main reason that he's... you know, been put with Vicky Guerrero. It doesn't really seem like it's doing much for him right now. Maybe things will change when Dolph Ziggler and he go into a feud, possibly over the services of Vicky Guerrero. I think that's on the horizon. But I'd like to see bigger things for Swagger. I think that he's a good talent. I think it's unfortunate that he had a lackluster title run that they kind of gave up on before they gave it a chance. And ever since then, he's just been kind of tooling around the mid-card there. So we'll see if that ever changes. We have our tag team match. The Usos taking on Epico and Primo, accompanied to the ring, of course, by Rosa Mendez. I'm still a big fan of the Usos. Love the entrance. Love that they now have Pyro that accompanies their entrance. I really want to see good things for the Usos. But, of course, in the end here, we see Epico take out Jay. Rosa distracts, and Primo hits the backstabber for the win. So your winners here, Epico and Primo. Not sure if they have a stable name yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Next up, we have Big Show and Jack Swagger. Of course, Jack is accompanied with his manager, Vicky Guerrero. This is a pretty good match. I thought that they did a pretty good job on giving Swagger a little bit of offense, kind of working over the Big Show. I love the spot where Big Show gets caught in the ankle lock, and Mark Henry is, of course, sitting at ringside watching this, sitting in a chair. And Swagger hits that ankle lock, and Big Show looks at Mark Henry and then basically reverses out of it. And from that point on, just kind of takes over and does what he needs to get the victory with the big choke slam and the pin for the 1-2-3. This prompts Mark Henry to basically, as Jack Swagger gets out of the ring, to kind of take his chair and beat the shit out of Jack Swagger, who is now at ringside standing in front of him. But not only does he take it there, he actually knocks out the cameraman with the same chair as Big Show just stands there and basically chastises Mark Henry and does nothing to help out the camera guy. So I found that kind of weak in that respect. I mean, if Big Show is this, you know, this big-time face, I would have thought that maybe he would have tried to chase Mark Henry out of the arena at that point or tried to get physical, but that did not happen. Next up, we see Heath Slater and Ted DiBiase. They're really promoting the fact that Ted DiBiase has this DiBiase posse. That seems to be the big thing. I mean, they've got the hashtag shirt with DiBiase posse. They talk about how he's, you know, attending events with these guys before the show. And Michael Cole goes on this big rant about how he gives away free stuff, you know. It's almost like, you know, these people are at the Oprah show when Oprah gives them all a car because they're in the audience. And that's kind of what Michael Cole is saying, is that the only reason they're there is because they get free shit. But I like the fact that DiBiase is getting this babyface push. I think his in-ring work has really increased. I mean, his mic skills still aren't 100% there, but I think the guy has gotten a lot better in the ring, and I like what we're seeing here. At the end of this match, after he gets the win via Dream Street on Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal comes in and attacks him from behind and basically puts him in a camel clutch. This is revenge for the stuff that has been going on between these two, which leads to Teddy Long coming out and saying, hold on a second, playa. He says that if you want to fight, there's somebody that you have unfinished business with from Monday, and you can take on him right now, which, of course, prompts Sheamus to come out from behind the Titantron there, and we have Jinder Mahal versus Sheamus in this very quick impromptu match. And, wow, Jinder Mahal doesn't really stand a chance against Sheamus. He gets the Irish curse, and then he gets his head kicked in with the brogue kick. So Sheamus gets the win here. Good match, quick match. And Jinder Mahal becomes SmackDown and, well, becomes one of SmackDown's biggest jobbers, alongside D. Bryan, of course. Next up, we have our big main event of the night, which pits Randy Orton and his tag team partner, Zack Ryder, taking on the team of Wade Barrett and Dolph Ziggler, of course, accompanied by Vicky Guerrero. This was a really good match, too. To me, the two matches of the night were this and, of course, Cody Rhodes and Daniel Bryan. A lot of good offense and defense in this particular match. Love the finish, though, as basically Orton avoids the zigzag, hitting the RKO and getting the win over Dolph Ziggler. I like the setup here. You know, you see Wade Barrett standing on top of the table, looking down at Randy Orton. You know, Zack Ryder got to be in a match with his opponent at TLC for the United States Championship and Dolph Ziggler. I like the build here. I think they did a very good job of building toward this Sunday's pay-per-view, and I'd have to say a much better job on the SmackDown brand of building on that go-home show to TLC than Raw. Of course, the Slammy Awards were an annoyance to each and every one of us. So that is your SmackDown review. Letter-wise, you know what? I'm going to give it a B+. I really enjoyed certain aspects of the show, and I think I'll let you guys know about that. So, again, good job. SmackDown is, in my opinion, the better wrestling show to watch. So, B+ is my grade, and that's going to do it for the SmackDown recap. With that being said, I am waiting on the foreign kid, Chris Kelly, or as he's like, he's basically known now as the British Broski, according to Becky Bayless. You know, Cookie from TNA. So, the British Broski, it doesn't have the same ring as the fucking foreign kid. So I'm gonna keep the fucking foreign kid going on here. But we're gonna be joined here in a moment by Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. We're gonna be talking news of the week, and I think we actually have the British Broski on the line. What's going on, man?
Then I zoned out completely. I started going, wait a minute, I have something to do. It's like, oh shit, I better call in. But I'm doing great, man. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm not sick this week. You know, I have electricity. Things are good, man. Things are good.
That is always good. Today, I've been busy. I had work. I got to interview SoCal Val. I'm doing headlock. So I'm busy, but I'm still up. A bit tired, but I did drink about 3 cups of tea. So hopefully I won't pass out and we'll get through this and we'll have a fantastic show. Touch wood, he says. So you bring up the Slammies last week, or this week, Monday.
Did you say touch wood?
Yeah.
No, Curly, it's knock on wood. If you're touching wood, well, we don't need to hear about it, okay?
Either or. You can say it either way.
Must be a British thing. It's definitely not an American thing to say I'm touching wood. So I'm just putting it out there, brother.
Okay, wait. Well, I saw on Triple H hinted that he would be facing Undertaker at WrestleMania, or wanted to face him at Mania. And according to a figure for Weekly, this has been booked for Mania. So we get Taker and Hunter one more time at WrestleMania 28. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, third time is a charm, Crowley. 10 years ago, 11 years now, we saw Triple H and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 17.
Right.
10 years later, we see it at WrestleMania 27, and now it's looking like we're going to see it for the third time at WrestleMania 28. I'm not a fan of this. I mean, look, I love The Undertaker, love Triple H. I'm a fan of both of them. And I thought that the match they had at WrestleMania 27, by far, and I voted this on the Wrestling Radio Awards, match of the year.
Right.
You know, and I guess maybe it's not only... Not just because that was a great match that I'm voting for that, but also because there was this, you know, little sign in the audience that said WrestlingNewsLive.tk. But anyway, no, getting to the point. I think that Undertaker and Triple H were fantastic this year, but I don't want to see it for a third time. I was not a fan of seeing Michaels and Taker twice, and now this is going to be a three-peat. So, yeah, I'm not feeling it. I mean, there's so many other guys that you could put in that role. You know, you could give Undertaker a young lion like a Sheamus or a Wade Barrett, someone who could get a big rub off having a match with The Undertaker, as opposed to having Triple H. Both guys are really ending their career. I mean, they are at the end. There's really nothing left for either one of them to do. And I think it's a waste.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I think it kind of also hurts the whole streak. Because the streak is meant to be the people that he's been at Mania, but now you have him beating Kane twice, Michaels twice, and possibly Triple H twice. So that's 6 wins that are a tribute to three people.
Exactly.
I think it should be new people.
I think so too.
It's just kind of stupid that they did that. That's been odd Mania. Like, as I say, we got Triple H versus Undertaker planned, Rock Cena. Then the other match planned is CM Punk versus Jericho. Now, if you do that right, that's 3 main events. That means the winner of the Rumble will not main event Mania. Which, in my opinion, makes, once again, the Rumble match look weak, because that used to be your ticket to Mania, Mania, Mania. But no, it's not. So, could they have a throwaway winner? Make it someone random?
Well, now, hold on. I think that I see your point. But I really think, and, you know, again, fantasy booking my prediction here, the way Sheamus is on a roll, I really think Sheamus is that guy that's going to win the Rumble this year. Which is fine, because then you're going to have the World Heavyweight Championship, which is one of the major championships in the company, still one of technically your main events for WrestleMania. I think that it's going to – that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Sheamus and Mark Henry. And last year we saw that match for the World Heavyweight Championship open the show.
Yeah. But that also leads you to question, where will Daniel Bryan cash in his Money in the Bank? Because he said Mania.
Well, he said that, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, unless after the match he cashes it in, and he's cashing against Sheamus, and Sheamus beats him. I mean, again, I kind of think they've got this set up for Daniel Bryan to be that guy that's going to fail the first time he cashes in. You know, we've been saying it for years. There's got to be some guy that's going to cash this in and lose. And he's not booked strong at all. He loses every match he's in. So he's not believable to me as a world heavyweight champion. I love Daniel Bryan to death. I think he's great. But the role they have him playing on WWE TV is just that he's not a believable guy. He's that underdog. But at the same time, I don't see it happening. I think he's going to cash in and he's going to lose. And that's just the way it's going to be.
And if they try and do like they did with Mysterio and have him be literally the underdog champion, where he doesn't win and then that Mania finally wins it.
Well, and then what? He loses every match when it's not a title match? I mean, I don't want to see that. If you're going to give Daniel Bryan the rub, if you're going to give him that championship, then let him run with it. Let's see what he can do. You know, make him that underdog champion. Make him that Shawn Michaels that takes on guys bigger than him. You know, 96, he took on everybody that was bigger than him. The Bulldog. He took on Sid. He took on Diesel. You name it, he was there. I mean, he basically took on everybody that was a bigger guy than him. Even, you know, Mankind.
Is this song from WWE 12?
It's not on WWE 12, but it is the British Bulldogs music, and you're British, so we're going with it.
Okay, cool. Now, what else do we have? Now, on Raw, as we saw, Kane returned under the marks. And this is because right now they don't really have much faith in any heels on the Raw brand. I mean, there's not much stock in Del Rio or The Miz. Which I think is kind of stupid because The Miz is a PR machine for the WWE and is a pretty damn good wrestler. And, well, Del Rio has been kind of stale. But I don't really see how they can be down on The Miz. The Miz is literally a workhorse for that company. So I'm not quite sure how they can be down on someone like The Miz.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I mean, I've always heard that Vince is very very supportive of The Miz, and they wanted to keep him in the main event mix. You know, and that was really the whole antithesis for having him involved with Rock and Cena at Survivor Series.
Well, what is here is they don't think The Miz and or Del Rio can hold the Raw brand, so they brought Kane over. Because he can carry the brand on himself. Which I don't really agree with, but...
Wow.
We'll see. Yeah, now as seen on the Slammies, Lita returned. Apparently they wanted Trish to come out as well, but she didn't want to fly from Canada to Raw to peel more segment and then go home again. So she turned down the E, but hell, at least Lita looked great. So that's one good thing. Now last week on SmackDown, there was meant to be a heel turn by Caitlyn, but that was kind of cut off the program. And that's because they weren't sure if they wanted to turn a heel. And then they were planning to turn both AJ and Caitlyn heel. Now, how would you turn two friends heel on each other? How would that work?
I don't know, man. I'm lost in the whole booking scenario there. I mean, it's, you know, I don't even know what to say at this point. I think it's ridiculous.
It Caitlyn hits AJ with her finisher, then so she's now heel, and then AJ pops back up and hits her finisher on someone random, so they're both heels. No. I don't really get how that would work.
Yeah, join the club, man. I think we're all kind of shaking our heads and looking like monkeys on that one. I have no idea.
Yeah, and I'm still not quite sure why WWE are pushing flipping Alicia Fox to the moon. She is just Maria, but kind of more crazier with a weirder entrance.
She looks like Rihanna. That's the whole reason behind it right there.
But she has the most fucked up like entrance. Like she's like swings like a fucking bell when it comes to the ring.
I hear you.
But, next up, we have and this was kind of discussed by Shawn Michaels when he was back on Wrestling News Live. Triple H wants to change FCW. Apparently, he doesn't want anyone brought out from FCW until A, they're ready, and B, WWE Creative have a plan for them. And I think that's great, because if you look at that, who was that big dude that was called up to be the bodyguard for Tyson Kidd?
Jackson Andrews. Yeah.
So basically, Hunter wants to stop that and make sure that everyone has a storyline. But I mean, down there, they have Seth Rollins, who is ready. They have Claudio Castagnoli ready. They have Chris Hero soon. I mean, those are three guys that should be up on the main roster as soon as possible. because they are being wasted down in SW. SW is the worst arena that you will ever see in the history of wrestling arenas. The fans there are stupid. Those guys need to get out of there ASAP and get on the main roster because they are being wasted down in FCW.
Well, I mean, the good thing about being in a place like FCW is that, you know, they're able to evaluate you, and it sounds to me like they're making positive changes in the future because, you know, I think it was shitty that, you know, Husky Harris came up to the main roster and just kind of lost a step because, you know, he was put in the Nexus so quickly. And then he got punted in the head by Randy Orton. They took him off TV and sent him back down to FCW. You know, I really felt like they could do something special with this kid because he's very gifted, you know. I mean, my God, not only is he good in the ring, I mean, he comes from quite the lineage. You know, not that that should give him a leg up, but, I mean, he does work hard for what he has. And, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about, you know, the former Tyler Black, Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose is another one that's getting a lot of praise, and he used to be Jon Moxley. You know, you've got Claudio Castagnoli, who is wrestling as, Caesar?
Yes.
Antonio Caesar?
Yes.
And, you know, Chris Hero coming in. So, I mean, they've got a deep roster pool in FCW, and I think that I've even heard rumors and remarks that there's a deeper roster pool there of guys than on the actual Raw and SmackDown roster. So that's kind of got me excited for the future, but they've got to play it the right way. I mean, look at what they did with Jinder Mahal. I'm not saying he's a technical dynamo. He's very stiff in the ring. I know that from experience. I've worked with the guy. But aside from that one little storyline they had with Great Khali and the two-minute squash matches, what has Jinder Mahal done? Because he's not able to go out there and have a five-minute match. He can't make somebody look good. That's his problem. He's just a big, strong guy who's got that look and he's got a gimmick. That's all he's got, and it seems like that's what's coming out of FCW. So they've really got to retool the way they're doing things. And I you know, if Triple H has a plan in mind, then hey, I'm all for it. I hope it works.
Well, you bring up Jinder Mahal. I saw it was Jim Ross who was like commenting on FCW, and he said that Jinder Mahal was too green and brought up too early.
Agreed.
Yes, because didn't they? They wanted to get the Khali off TV and bring in a new star. But when you bring in someone in who's pretty green, he won't have anything to do after that feud. It's kind of hard for him. So we'll see what happens in terms of that. But I still think WWE's biggest mistake was cutting or letting go of OVW, because OVW proved to be successful.
Well, yeah, when you look at the guys that come out of, when you look at the guys that have come out of OVW, and not just the guys, the girls that work there too. You know, Victoria came out of there. That's just one example.
Beth Phoenix
is another one. I mean, the talent that came out of OVW, you know, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, John Cena, the list goes on and on. You know, and these are some of the top stars in the industry today. And they got that training by Danny Davis down in OVW. I thought it was a big mistake when they cut ties with it, but a lot of that had to do with Jim Cornette. And, you know, even though he's not with them anymore, Danny Davis and he are very good friends. And I think that TNA, in all honesty, that's a coup for them. And I don't know the deal with Jesse Neal where he was supposed to go to OVW and he basically told TNA to go fuck themselves and quit the company. I don't know the situation. I know that you have news on a interview with him coming up soon, so I want to hear about that here in a little bit, but maybe we'll get the full story from Jesse Neal on that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where that interview is going to air yet, but I do have him booked, not quite sure where, so I hope, because he's basically, because I sent out a tweet to him and he goes, I want to get out the full story, so wherever that it airs, I'll make sure to report back here next week, so
That sounds like the kind of investigative journalism for Andy Knowles. We might have to check into that.
I will see what Andy's up to. Now, over on Twitter, Kurt Angle basically said that he believes that Rhino should be brought back to TNA. He tweeted, "Rhino is coming to see me tonight. Why he is not signed by TNA or any other company, I have no idea." And I agree with him. Rhino is a great talent. A good big worker. And I believe right now he's in ROH, I think. So, I mean, would you like to see Rhino back in one big company?
I would. And you know what saddens me about Rhino? I remember watching ECW in 1999 when it was still on TNN, right before they closed down their doors, right after Taz left the company. And as soon as Taz was on the way out, Rhino was that guy. I mean, Rhino took over that Taz role. He was the badass of ECW. You know, they didn't have Mike Awesome because he went to WCW. He kind of screwed them over. But he got his in the end because they sent Taz back down to ECW and had Taz beat him for the belt, which I thought was great. But Rhino kind of cemented himself as that badass heel, that monster on the ECW roster. I can remember going to the last ECW show that happened in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I actually have the DVD of that, courtesy of a good friend of mine from across the pond, Ian Hamilton. And I thought when that company closed down, I thought, man, I would love to see Rhino working for the WWE. We got to see it for a little while, but it was never to the degree that I thought Rhino should be at. You know, he was always part of the quartet with Edge and Christian, you know, and Kurt Angle. He was never utilized properly. Even when they broke him away and he had his hardcore title runs and the other things that he did, I never felt that Rhino got a fair shake. TNA, just the same. I never felt like Rhino got a fair shake. He was the champion, and they downplayed it. It was no big deal. It was just Rhino. And I think that Rhino is a hell of a ring hand. Some of the shit he's done is just absolutely crazy. But I think the guy's got a lot of talent, and I'd love to see him get his due. And I don't think we're going to see that. Even if TNA brings him back in, they didn't do anything with him, you know, 5 years ago. What are they going to do with him now? I mean, Kurt's right. He should be working for one of the main companies, but, you know, he doesn't have things on his side right now. Time, his age. I mean, it just seems like, unfortunately, it's kind of the end of the road for Rhino, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, if he was to return to the E, for example, he could just be someone that puts over young kids, a la Goldust. Because Rhino is a great big guy that can put over other big guys. But, like I say, I think right now he's winding down in ROH, which is a shame. But
you know what? I mean, having a guy like Rhino in ROH is good because, you know, he's going to be able to help elevate some of the young talent coming through there. And I think that's important. I think it's very important for veterans of the business to kind of give back to the young guys growing, you know, that are coming into this. Guys that watched Rhino on TV when they were younger, who are getting their opportunity in Ring of Honor. And I think that when you use a guy like Rhino as an enhancement talent, you know, you learn a lot from a guy who's been on the road, who's been to different countries, who's been practicing his craft for 20 years. I mean, that's the kind of thing you need in a place like Ring of Honor. So, you know, I'd love to see him get one last run in the WWE or TNA, but I think he's in a good place right now with ROH.
Yeah, and I believe that next week ROH have an iPay-per-view. I think it's Final Battle, so I think next week I might be watching that whilst I'm doing the show because that card looks fucking stacked. And I got to speak to, who was it? It was Rhett Titus from the Ultimate Night Special, and he basically put it over to me, so I might have to buy that because like, it's $15, so it should be fun. Now, as we've heard about this whole Indian project that TNA are doing, and I actually asked Sophie Cavall what it was, and her response is, I have no idea. So it's not. So no one actually knows quite sure what this whole Indian project actually is, but they actually have a pretty good roster. They have Harry Smith, Luke Gallows, Chris Masters, Eugene, shit, my page exploded. They have Jimmy Rave, Joey Ryan, Sean Devari, Sunday Dart, and Zimmer and Iron. And also they've got like Magnus going over there as well. So I'm not quite sure what this Indian project is, and I honestly don't see what's going to help in TNA. But they've got a good roster going over there.
Wow, so, but you know, Jeff Jarrett's actually going over there to head that thing up. So I want to see what this is. I find it interesting that they went to the Indian market. I mean, if anything, if I were looking to start a wrestling company and I were Jeff Jarrett wanting to branch out from TNA, I think I'd strike where the iron was hot, and that's over there in the UK with you guys because you guys are just tenacious about that product. And I don't know what the Indian market offers, but they must have something going on there.
I'm guessing that because they know they have a hot market here in England, they're trying to pick a random country where they might get a market. So I think it's more of a gamble, like trying to get more fans internationally. But yeah, you are right. If they wanted to guarantee themselves a great show that would draw money week in, week out, it would definitely be the UK. But time will tell. I don't really have any more news unless you have some news that you've...
Wait, it's...
Yeah, well, it's been quite a slow news week apart from... Like, I just saw that Maria Kanellis is going to ROH. She's going to be there debuting with her boyfriend. So...
Who?
Please. Huh?
Who?
Maria.
Maria who?
Former WWE diva.
Oh, Maria are we talking Kanellis. About Maria Kanellis or Maria Menounos? Because somebody posted on the SNS Facebook page the other day, this doesn't look like Maria.
Yeah. Former WWE diva, Maria Kanellis, is going to ROH.
So we'll go ahead and take our first commercial break. We come back. We're going to be basically paying our respects to my mixer. We're going to be talking about WWE 12. And we're going to be taking phone calls and, of course, emails right here on the show.
Sounds good to me.
So with that being said, guys, stay tuned for more Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network right after this.
Yeah!
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Marcus Stevenson from THQ, and you're listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Every story has a beginning.
He is a man of destiny.
Every superstar has an evolution.
The youngest world champion in history.
And every champion never settles. 99% is good enough. Just not good enough to beat me. Always primed.
Randy Orton is always in control.
Ready to strike.
Orton is getting to that place, that gear that only Randy Orton has.
Reborn with each challenge. Born with a vengeance. Bigger. Badder. Better.
You know, in the world of pro wrestling radio, there's always someone out there who will always try to get under your skin.
I want to really drive Andy to the point where he wants to choke me out. Because I'm going to drive him right off the edge of the cliff.
They'll always try, but in the end, it always comes down to the truth.
That moment when silent rage blows the gasket, this match is over.
You know, I'm really just a nice guy at heart. But...
Don't piss me off, okay?
I mean, come on.
The truth is going to hurt someone.
Catch your weekly search for the truth right here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer, Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network it's go time.
Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass.
Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
Keep me out there.
Steve Austin does what he wants, when he wants. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Now, for the first time ever, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, an unprecedented feature-length retrospective spanning the career of the Texas Rattlesnake. From his small-town beginnings to the center of the biggest stages in the world, a four-disc DVD or three-disc Blu-ray collection with unforgettable matches and moments chosen by Stone Cold himself. Loads of special features, including alternate commentary from Stone Cold and Jim Ross for three classic WrestleMania matches. Plus, exclusive to the Blu-ray set, it's 3 hours of additional content, including a tour of Stone Cold's Broken Skull Ranch, Stone Cold Q&A from the WWE Universe, and more. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
My name is David Otunga, and this is an ordinary wooden table, generally used for family dinners. This is a 12-foot ladder, commonly used to change light bulbs. This is a steel chair, normally used for, well, sitting down. But that's not how we use them at WWE TLC.
Tables, ladders, and chairs. WWE TLC. Tables, ladders, and chairs.
Won't you join us?
I think people forget about the true meaning of Christmas. Love, friendship, and spending time with the family. Mama would be inside, fixing turkey and dressing, and me and my brothers used to play outside in the snow for hours, throwing snowballs, and I'll never forget my daddy coming outside and saying,
"Hey! Who put the dick on the snowman? Andy Barris, the family. You could have used a ball bat, a cucumber, or a zucchini. But instead you used a thimble, something you could barely see. Who put that dick on the snowman and made him look like me?
You boys been talking to your mama. I got your Christmas present right here, you little bastard. I'm gonna beat your ass."
Spoons, hoping to find we're two of a kind. Make it a go, make it grow. Together, we're gonna find our way.
Hey, this is Ricky Schroeder. You're listening on the SNS Network.
Oh, you know what kills me? We are literally a week away from Christmas. Got a big week next week. We're going to have Marty Jannetty on Wrestling News Live this Monday. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I liked Marty Jannetty. I'll admit, I was not the biggest fan of the Rockers, but I liked his feud with Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels basically kicked him through, basically super kicked him and threw him through the barbershop window. I want to talk about that. There's a lot of things about with Marty that I want to discuss, and we're going to get to that on WNL this Monday night. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully Marty will have quite the insight for us and let us know some of the things that went down during his career. I've actually gone back and watched some of his biggest matches, especially the match with him and Shawn Michaels taking on Playboy Buddy Rose and what is his partner's name? They were the AWA Tag Team Champions in a bloody brutal tag team match, but Doug Summers and Buddy Rhodes. That's what it was. Very good match. If you haven't seen that, it is a classic. I would definitely recommend you check that one out. Moving on to other things, this week is also going to be the week that Trey and I sit down together and tape the Christmas Craptacular. I'm thinking maybe Thursday or Friday night next week is when we're going to actually put this thing together so that you guys will have it in time for Christmas. Some of you have already started putting your messages on the Skype line for the Craptacular. If you don't know how to do that, basically you just call the Skype line, 501-588-7957, preferably when we're not on the air, so off hours, obviously. Wait for the voicemail to pick up and, you know, leave your message. You know, your goodwill toward, you know, all the listeners of the SNS family, the show host, whatever it is you want to say, whatever it is that you want to add to our Christmas Craptacular, we give you that opportunity as parts of the family, as fans, to express your thoughts on what we do here and to give your greetings to other members of this family. And this family just keeps continually growing, and I'm very humble and I'm very thankful for that. And I want to thank you guys for continuing to do what you do by showing up each and every week and listening to all the shows here on the SNS Network, whether it's WNL, whether it's Unplugged Live, whether it's SNS, or any of the other shows like Beyond the Bell or the Pro Wrestling Rewind or the Elite Force podcast. You know, I thank you for coming here and giving us a listen because, you know, the end of the day, it's fun for us. You know, we just enjoy, you know, discussing things like wrestling, like video games, like sci-fi, for example. You know, we are very passionate about that, and we appreciate that you guys have given us an outlet to do that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. But, yeah, if you want to be a part of the Christmas Craptacular, that is the way you do it. You send us a message on the Skype line, and we will play those during our breaks on the Christmas Craptacular for Christmas. So, with that being said, I want to shift it a little bit. This is probably still, you know, a fresh wound to me. I'm still bothered by this. It really got under my skin to know that I had to replace my mixer board, a mixer that, quite frankly, will go down in the annals of mixer board history as being, shut up, Curly, as being somewhat important. It helped found the SNS Radio Network, some of the greatest moments that have ever happened on the SNS Network happened on this mixer. I'm talking about ZeniX 1002B. It's a Behringer board. And in the two-year lifespan of that mixer board, a lot happened. You know, we went on to sweep the awards last year at the Wrestling Radio Awards, which, you know, we want to do again this year. So make sure you go and vote. But I couldn't have done it without that mixer board. You know, it's very near and dear to my heart. And I have a tribute right now that I want to play for you guys to my mixer board. So please join me in celebrating the life and the passing of an integral cog in the SNS Radio Network machine, my mixer board.
One last demand. Tell me a lie. Say the
I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little misty-eyed there. That was touching.
Yeah. That was a tribute and a half, right?
I feel like I've lost my smile.
Is it time for you to go home and just go sit in the corner? No more show. Just going to go sit and cry until the smile returns.
Well, on the plus side, though, when Lexi opens her gifts this year, that old mixer board is going to be under the tree. Strictly for her.
And you will destroy her confidence.
Hey, she destroyed my mixer board, damn it.
Yeah, but you're going to take the higher ground. You're a parent. The kid, they're little. You know a lot. That kid will be heartbroken. That wound will be like opened again.
What, do you think that's the only thing I'm going to get her? You think I'm that evil, you bastard?
You should do.
It'll be a funny moment, though. You know, I mean, granted, she'll look at it and she'll come up to me and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry, I broke your mixer board." And then, of course, I'll have to smile and, you know.
That plus coal and then to be happy?
Well, yeah, she's not getting coal. Kid's getting a great Christmas, man. I ain't going to lie. The kid is going to do well this year.
Plus a destroyed mixer board.
Plus a mixer board. Hey, she likes to get into radio, so I'm giving her the advanced tools right there at an early age to learn how to control a mixer board. It just won't ever be plugged in, you know. Then again, maybe I shouldn't, because she might actually hit Sienna with the mixer. That probably wouldn't work too well.
Yeah, that's not a smart idea to give kids the mixer boards. Ka-dunk! Yeah. It could be fun to watch.
It might be a good laugh, though. Then I'll just take it back and, you know, do what I got to do. But, yeah, I was pretty saddened. I was pretty tore up, you know. But, you know, I got a new one, and it's sounding better than ever. So, you know, this mixer will hopefully have a longer lifespan than the previous Xenix 1002B. But I can say it right now, the old mixer board is the first inductee in the SNS Radio Network Hall of Fame, because without it, the SNS Radio Network would not be here. So that's my fitting tribute to my mixer board. It's the first entry in the SNS Hall of Fame.
We now have a Hall of Fame?
Kinda.
Oh, sweet.
Anyway, now that that is over with... And we can actually get back to the show with a straight face. Hope that was entertaining for you bastards.
It was insane per se.
It was insane, yes. I'm sure there are haters like, what is he fucking doing?
And then
I tuned in to listen to this shit?
Yep.
Whatever.
It's because we have to be entertaining, because wrestling's not entertaining. So it's called mixing your...
Ashley's got the chant in the chat room. One more show. One more show. I'm afraid that mixer will never do another show. It's toast.
One more show. Really?
Yep. It's not going to happen. Sorry.
Bad times, I must say.
But no, normally at this point in time, we would have Sean on the show, and we'd be discussing video game news of the week and, you know, maybe movie news and stuff. Well, we're not going to do that this week. What we are going to do, and have you actually had a chance to play some WWE 12, Curly?
I have. I mean, I've painted that and also a little Battlefield, so... Yeah, I've been playing quite a bit of WWE 12. I mean, I tried to go online a few times, and the servers have gone on a strike. But I've played quite a bit of the WWE Universe, so yeah, quite a bit.
Well, see, I can't speak on how the PS3 is handling, because I don't have one. But as far as my Xbox 360, I know that a couple days ago, Trey and I were having just rough problems trying to play matches online. Community Creations has gotten a little bit better. I've been able to go and download a lot of things, and one of the things we're going to be doing on this show moving forward is, I think, every couple of weeks, and we're probably going to start this after Christmas. So starting, I guess, in January, I'm going to start highlighting different calls, different created arenas. I'm even going to highlight the creators themselves that have made stuff, because I've gotten a lot of creative content from some very good creators out there, and I would like to acknowledge what they do and kind of give them a rub and tell people about what they've been doing, and, you know, getting as many people checking out their stuff as possible, because I went and downloaded, I'm serious, a great Kurt Angle, a fantastic AJ Styles, you know, and it was myself and like 4,000 other people have downloaded that. So that's got to tell you that's pretty accurate. It's pretty bang on. And well, again, we're going to be highlighting those people in the coming weeks here on Unplugged.
It's pretty funny. Like, when you look at, like, kind of the trend setting on on the creative wrestlers, most of them tend to be TNA. Like Kurt Angle with Jeff Hardy, Hulk Hogan, Sting. And it, there must be some kind of like irony that on a WWE game, the most downloaded wrestlers and arenas are from TNA.
Well, I think what it really is, I mean, I see where you're going with that, but I think it's just the fact that if you're like me, you don't play with the characters that are in the game. You know, the best part of any WWE game ever since, you know, they came up with the create a wrestler feature is the fact that I can make my own people. If I want to make guys from other promotions, I can do that. With this new universe mode, I like the idea of having one brand or two brands where I can kind of build up. If I want Impact on Fridays, I can put it on Fridays. If I want Nitro on Mondays, I can do that. I like that aspect of things. So, to me, when you have this universe mode where you can input guys from TNA, you can input old ECW superstars, you can input classic wrestlers from the 80s, much like the Canadian Horseman does, and put together your own roster and have your own like fantasy matchups or your dream matches or your ultimate roster of people on one brand, I personally think it's a great idea, and I think that's why you're seeing all these creative wrestlers. I mean, I see that Jeff Hardy is one of the most downloaded ones, you know. Jeff Jarrett, there's just a lot of guys from TNA that, yeah, are getting out there. And when you look at some of the guys that are in the WWE locker room, yeah, you'd probably want to put those guys up against them. So, I mean, that's the main reason that does so well.
Yeah, and like I said, like when I was looking at the rankings for Crate Arena, number one was the Impact Zone. I was like, that's quite ironic as well. But I did spend like a few hours going through, getting some cool like arenas. I got someone that made, of course, Impact Zone. I got someone that made the FCW arena. I got the original ECW arena. I got WCW's arena. Like, well, there's some split. Like, I think it's Best of the Beach on that. So, I mean, I enjoy going through that and just putting them into my little universe because I do kind of swap superstars for Impact because I can.
Well, see, I have. There is someone online called Prime Architect who's been helping me out. He's been sending me logos and designs and stuff. And he actually made an SNS arena, to which I kind of went in and tweaked, made it different in some ways. But he actually made like an SNS Radio Network logo. And one of the things that bothers me about WWE 12 is that when you have the created arena, you don't have the option of using text on the ring. You have to use logos. I'm hoping that for WWE 13, they fix that because it would be so much easier for people to make what you want using text and putting it on the ring aprons or on the ring mat as opposed to just basically using the paint tool to make that stuff, because I suck at that. I'm going to be real honest. I'm great at making characters. When it comes to doing paint tool, not even close.
I think a cool feature would be if you were actually able to edit like the Tron, like the actual Tron, because like not every wrestling company uses that big Tron. I mean, for example, TNA has the little like half circles. So I mean, that would be a cool feature for WWE 13, was if you could actually change the physical Tron as well as the ring.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. And I think that's something they're going to probably explore in future games in the franchise. I think that would be fantastic if you could, you know, really have the opportunity to kind of change those Trons around, how the entranceway does. You know, personally, I would love to have, and this is just me being a mark for this, but I've always been a big fan of the old WCW and, like, the New Japan and even classic ECW stuff where you've got the ramp that extends all the way from the entranceway to the ring. And so you have three sides of the ring that don't have the ramp. Then you've got the entranceway that has the ramp, because you're supposed to be, you know, when you're in wrestling, you're supposed to be larger than life. You're supposed to be bigger than the audience. The audience is supposed to look up at you. And I think when you're on that ramp and you're making your entrance into the ring, that to me elevates you to that point. That's what I loved about New Japan. That's what I loved about the early 90s when WCW had it. I loved it when ECW was implementing it. I mean, hell, we even saw moves where, like, Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow fell through the entrance rampway.
And I know, for example, didn't they did have it in TNA for a bit when Hulk came in. But the problem is, when like they try and do some like cool spot involving like a sunset flip to the outside, it's quite hard to get up high enough to do a sunset flip, so they'd have to do it on the side, which is bad from a production standpoint because the camera's awkwardly. So I think that's why they got rid of that in TNA, because they like to do sunset flips and such like that to the outside. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if you could literally change the Tron, the entrance ramp, I mean, hell, even the arena to a degree, I mean, the physical appearance of the arena, like make it smaller so it actually looks like the Hammerstein Ballroom, for example, that'd be cool. But what we have now is good. I mean, like I say, it's cool how people have gone in and made in the Impact Zone. They've made the ROH arena, and I hope that they do evolve that, because that is one cool feature of WWE 12.
Oh, you know, the customization alone, whether it's the arena, whether it's the move sets, the create a finisher, the create a superstar, I think they've done a fantastic job, minus my chef hat not being in there, of course. Because, I mean, really, we need Viking hats in the game. We need football helmets in the game. Where's my fucking chef hat, guys? You're killing me. No, seriously, I think the customization is great. And to me, that's where this game really excels. The gameplay, I enjoy. Yeah, it's a little buggy. It's a little glitchy. But, you know, name a game right now that doesn't have bugs and glitches. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of the top titles right now, there's something wrong. And Skyrim. That's to be expected. Yeah, Skyrim especially. And that really is to be expected. The biggest problem right now with this game is the online, and it seems like it's getting better. Like I said, I have been frustrated many times trying to go in and navigate community creations, using the search, not being able to use it, going in and looking at two or three different characters or arenas, and then getting kicked out, and then having problems not being able to get back on. It's been a pain in the ass, but it does seem like it is getting better. You know, Trey and I spent a good chunk of the day today playing online with Horseman and Deadeye, and just had a ball. You know, it doesn't really seem very laggy on the online. You know, I think Trey and I had a match, one of the first matches we did a couple days ago, where it was laggy at first. Like, the first minute was a little laggy, and then it got better, and then it was gone. No problems at all. And then when someone has a bad connection, of course, it starts to lag. But aside from that, I mean, you got a good connection, and you've got people that all have good connections. The online is pretty fluid. I have no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I really haven't spent much time online just because I've been playing Universe, and I know some people don't like this year's Universe, but they've added some more cutscenes to it that make more sense. I mean, last year you would have someone just walk down to the ring and just go on the announcement and do nothing. At least in this year, there's a cutscene after that where they come in the ring and hit you with the finisher. I mean, I was Alex Riley, and Randy Orton came down and was at the announce table. And I won the match, and then from the match, I got hit by an RKO. So they have added quite a few more cutscenes, but then again, some cutscenes that make sense. Like, I had Brock Lesnar debut on Superstars.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that. Like I said, I went and downloaded a bunch of people today. The AJ Styles that I downloaded by Dre41 was, and he's someone who's going to be in our spotlight. Probably the first spotlight I do will be with Dre. But I downloaded his AJ today and put him in the Universe mode and had a couple of matches. I had a match on Superstars against Husky Harris, played the match out. After the match ended, AJ walked over to Husky Harris and was helping him up. And then Husky gave him a nutshot and walked away. And I was like, oh, that's one I haven't seen before. But I really like some of these cutscenes that I've seen. It seems to me like Universe is much better. I like the fact that you can customize your brand. If you want Nitro on Monday nights, you can put it there. You can use the Nitro ring. You can use any custom ring that you want. I like that aspect of it. And I like that you can change the belts around. If you don't want the spinner belt, guess what? You don't have to use it. You can use the World Heavyweight Championship. You can use the Attitude Era belt. You could use the Undisputed title. Whatever you want to do. You can change the U.S. title if you don't like it. You can make it the Intercontinental title. Hell, if you want to have cruiserweights, put the cruiserweight belt on there. I mean, there's different ways to go about it. And I like that aspect of it. Now, the one thing that bothers me is that when you do want to change the show, you're stuck with the Raw theme music. You can't change Nitro's music to Nitro if you change it to Nitro. You're kind of stuck with that default show's music. And I don't know if that was just a mistake in hindsight or what happened there, if they just kind of lost track of what they were doing, but that kind of bothers me. I mean, if I want to have Nitro, I expect to be able to use the Nitro theme. If I have my own show, I want to be able to use whatever show theme I want to use. And unfortunately, that's not something we can do.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that annoyed me is that I spent hours like making my guy, and then I go into WrestleMania, and then my moves get wiped out. I get a default moveset, default name. I'm like, fuck's sake. So I have another few hours remaking me. It should warn you that you're going to lose all your moves. It's fucking annoying. And they didn't really even justify them wiping your moveset apart from two cutscenes where your wrestler uses a switching music and a brainbuster. So that's really annoying.
Now, in terms of presentation, I think this game excels. It graphically is beautiful.
Yes.
I think the gameplay has improved greatly. I like the fact that you've gotten away from the you're using the face buttons to do the grapples and the strikes, and you're not using the stick for anything other than picking your opponent up and changing positions for the guys, which is good. What I don't like about it is that they eliminated the environmental grapples.
Yeah.
That bothers me. I really enjoyed the environmental grapples. Not all of them, but I did enjoy a good majority. I liked using the announce table. I liked being able to do the elbow drop from the top rope onto the announce position. That's been taken out. I like the fact that at one point you could bang somebody's head against the ring steps, or you could take the turnbuckle cover off and bang their head into the turnbuckle. And all these things have been taken away. Now, the bashing into the turnbuckle is actually a move now. You can use that, so that's not really a factor. But you can't do much with the ring steps and banging somebody's head into them. And to me, that's pretty bad. I would like to see in future iterations of the game, and I've said this for years, I would love to see environmental grapples involved with your created superstars. Like, for example, if I'm making JJ Sexe and I'm looking at all the options like turnbuckle, rope, I'd like to be able to, say, go into the turnbuckle, and if I want to use Bret Hart's sharpshooter or the figure four, off the ring pole, I'd be able to do that. You would basically just make it a corner grapple situation where, you know, like if you have the guy sitting in the corner, say you want to do the move, you know, you basically grab them and drape their legs to the outside, go to the outside, and lock that figure four on. I think there's different ways they could implement them, but I think they should be part of the move set.
Yeah. I think that would help build kind of the realism of the game. I mean, there are a few small things that they could do to build the realism of the game. I mean, I remember when I first played at Eurogamer, I said to you, one thing that I want is if you do like a press slam near the ropes, you don't hit that invisible wall. You actually go over the ropes like you did in old games. Just a few small things that they could use to kind of make the game appear more realistic.
Right, exactly. And again, I'm not trashing the game because I really enjoy it. You know, like I said, these are things that I'd like to see improved upon. And, you know, I think that this is a big step in improving from the SmackDown versus Raw series. Let me just say that off the bat. I have enjoyed playing Universe Mode. I've enjoyed playing online. The only problems that I've really had, like I said, has been the online downloading of stuff. And we had a situation today where we had five people online, and unfortunately, for some reason, Trey couldn't get in. You know, it wouldn't let him connect. I don't know if that was his internet or what the deal was, but the rest of us were fine. And then we went back to playing four-player when he left and had no issues. So I think the online is drastically improved. I think the gameplay is better. I like the fact that there's new moves added, and the moves all look pretty smooth, the transitions. You know, I'm tired of the same old stunner animation. There's two stunners in this game. Well, actually, there's three. Let me take that back. There's a Santino stunner. There is two Stone Cold Steve Austin stunners, and you still have that Stone Cold stunner that the Rock oversells, which I don't know why that is still in the game, because, again, it's just that's a Rock-only thing. You never see Austin hit that stunner like that on anybody else. The other stunner, the guy, like, stands up, takes two steps back, and then falls face first, and that one doesn't work. The Santino stunner actually probably has the best animation sell of the stunner to it. But really, they have an animation in there that would be practically perfect for the stunner, and it's the single knee to face buster, basically. It's basically a single code breaker that Gregory Helms used to do, and I can't think offhand the name of the move, but it's one of my finishes. when the guy hits that, he bounces back and then flops like a dead fish. You know, and that's exactly how Scott Hall sold that stunner years ago. And that, to me, would be the best-looking stunner animation. But we're stuck with the, you know, roll-over three times rock version of the stunner. And I can't stand it. I would love to use the stunner. I'd love to go in to create a finisher and do a decent stunner there. But you really can't because of the different stunner animations that they have there where you set up for the stunner. I don't like. I mean, it's just not you just don't have a basic good stunner in the game. And that really bothers me.
And that's also like the chokeslam. They don't have a good animation for a chokeslam. They have one that's pissed me off because they've used it like the last 5 years where it's Kane. You pick him up like a normal chokeslam, but then when the guy hits the mat, he rolls over onto his front.
Yeah, he does that like flip. He lands on the back of his head or his neck and then flips over. I know what you're talking about. You know, and even the creative finisher, there's not really a decent chokeslam animation there. I would love to go to one of these motion capture sessions. And I would like to see them implement something in the future where you have different cells to moves, you know, where you can go in and really tweak how the cell is done. You know, if you want it to be over-exaggerated, it can be. If you don't want it over-exaggerated, then fine. But I think that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? I don't know. My mind went blank. I was listening. I don't know. Carry on, and I'm pretty sure it'll come back to me. I was going to say something about selling of moves.
Now, I also noticed today when I was I downloaded a Bret Hart, and basically I was looking during, you know, for the entrances and stuff that they have.
Yes.
And I noticed that the Bret Hart entrance is gone. It's not in the game this year, which I thought, why is that? Because you still have Jim Neidhart's entrance. So why is Bret's taken out? And then it dawned on me. Well, they took all the Macho's moves out, too. His taunts are gone. Why did they do that? Because he's been announced as DLC. So I'm wondering, given the relationship that Bret has with the WWE, I'm wondering if the reason they took that out is because he's, you know, and again, I know nothing. I don't talk to anybody. I know nothing. But I'm wondering if maybe that's the case, that Bret's going to be released as DLC.
Yeah, and I believe that the Divas DLC is out this week. I think that's
yes.
Tank said on Twitter.
I believe it is. I mean, you know, I think that's our Christmas present, basically. You're going to get Karma. You're going to get Vicky Guerrero. Who are some of the other ones? Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I know a few people were asking for Lita, but Lita's not done anything with WWE apart from the Slammies. So it would make no sense for her to be on the DLC. But, I mean, I know you're also getting Alicia Fox for free. And also the Bella Twins.
Oh, yeah, Bella Twins.
Which I don't get because the Bella Twins have been on TV for like the last year or two. Why are they now DLC?
Layla's in the game, actually.
Yeah.
She's not DLC. She's in the game already. You just forgot about her.
To be fair, I don't think many people use the Divas.
Oh, come on, man. She's actually even involved in the United Kingdom Sheamus storyline.
For one match.
But hey, she's in it.
One match. They could have at least had her flipping win the women's title. That would have made more sense.
Ah, true that.
But like you bring up the WrestleMania. There's one glitch I found funny, and it's when you're in the Creator Wrestler storyline, and it's the Hell in a Cell match. If you notice, right, whenever you go for a cut scene that leads to one of your teammates being eliminated, your wrestler's just there wandering around the outside. Look at the background. Like, for example, when Kevin Nash powerbombs Triple H, your wrestler is either sat in the corner a la Mick Foley, or what I had was my wrestler was stood right in the middle of the ring, just glitched there, just looking at Kevin Nash powerbombing your teammate. I mean, they could have kind of made that a bit better, because it's a bit weird just to see a wrestler just wandering around the outside of the ring when your teammate's getting powerbombed through the ring by Kevin Nash.
But right.
That's my only little bitch about WrestleMania, because it's fun, apart from the backstage brawls, which is rather annoying.
I was not a big fan of the backstage brawls. I kind of felt like it was way overdone. It seemed like every other scene, I'm in the back getting my ass kicked by Vader and somebody else, or you know, two other guys by some of Miz's misfits. It's just like, oh come on, you're killing me with this. Little overkill. I don't mind, you know, a couple of those in a storyline, but I don't want to feel like every match I do is a backstage brawl.
I find it funny that in the Triple H version of WrestleMania, you get out of nowhere powerbombed by Kevin Nash, who you're on the phone to, and that's ignored totally. I mean, why? I mean, A, how did Nash get to your locker room? And B, why is it ignored and not mentioned at all? Not even in the Hunter Road to WrestleMania.
I think it was more of an inside joke kind of thing. I mean, I think you're taking it too serious. I just thought it was funny. He's talking on the phone, and he's like, I don't know. I think I'm done. And then he's like, oh, you need a kick to the face or something to wake up. And he goes, as a matter of fact, and then he power bombs him. And then he gets up, and he's like, what am I thinking here? So I think it was kind of like a dream sequence kind of thing. I don't think it was meant to be anything major. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I don't see it as much as everybody else seems to make of it. You know, I've heard a lot of bitching about it, but to me, and if you look at it in that sense, it does kind of make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to say that Nash, with his storyline, brings back Triple H, who's retired, yeah, the whole click thing. I would still love to see Scott Hall return somehow. I know he's fucked up to hell, but Scott Hall, it would be nice to see Scott Hall back. I know he can't stay sober, but I'd rather see him on TV. I asked him the other day, right? Do you leave Scott Hall at home and let him get drunk and kill himself? Or do you risk it and take him on the road so he can't drink?
Well, see, that's where you're wrong. If that's where you're going to drink is on the road.
Yeah, but not if you're around, like it's been Nash and Hunter.
Well,
if you travel with the right guys.
Well, I see where you're going, but on the road the temptation is there, so I don't necessarily agree with that. But, I mean, that's where he got hooked in the first place, was doing that, you know, working 300 days a year, traveling from town to town, going out and partying after the show. I mean, I think putting him back in that environment is not a good idea.
Right, but now you have him basically killing himself.
Yeah, but so, going back on the road might be killer for him too, Crowley. I mean, again, when you're out there with the boys and you're, you know, those vices are in your face, I mean, you're going to want to do things. And I think that, you know, I wish Scott Hall the best. And, you know, I enjoyed talking with him earlier this year. He's a great guy. And I want to see him succeed. And I want to see him sober. And I want to see him work things out with his family. But, I mean, he's got to be the one that wants to do that. We can't be the ones that are saying, hey, man, we want you to do this. He's got to do it for himself.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was, like, what's happening with Scott Hall is really scary because I see Matt Hardy falling into a Scott Hall. Matt Hardy is en route to becoming Scott Hall 2.0. Because that guy is so screwed up. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
But I know we've been off the topic, but it was just something on my mind.
That's fine. Wrapping up my WWE 12 talk, like I said, I enjoy the gameplay. I think the motions are fluid. The visuals are great. I love the fact there's now the comebacks. I wish there were more comebacks. But I do like the fact that there are a set number of comebacks in the game. I love the wake-up taunt.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite new features, is the wake-up taunt.
Yeah, because it was annoying last year when you're like, stand the fuck up. No, stand up.
See, you know, the comeback taunt too, or it's not the comeback taunt, but the comeback feature was something, and I've been saying this for a while. I know when we had Marcus on the Causecast when I was still with that show, and even Brian, we talked about having something that was like a momentum shift, like what Day of Reckoning had. And I kind of feel like that was what the goal with the comeback was, to have something sort of like a momentum shift. So I'm glad to see that got addressed and got worked with. And I've only managed to pull off a couple of successful comebacks, but I like the fact that the game is difficult this year. I like that, you know, normal is like legend difficulty. You know, really, really hammers in that you've got to, you know, not do the same moves over and over again, and you have to employ a chess-like strategy in order to beat your opponent. And I like that. I think that helps out tremendously.
I think the only time that you have to do the same move over and over again is when I can't remember what storyline it is, but it's a tag team match. It's the one that's Survivor Series. Oh, but in it is the one where you're Jacob Cash and you're Del Rio, and you have to take out Big Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Big Show is so hard to take out, so you just have to spam the same move over and over again.
But you know what? I loved how they. A lot of people are bitching about the road to WrestleMania. Again, it does have its faults, but I like the fact that it's more cutscene than anything else. Because when I'm playing the storylines, I want to be immersed in the storylines, and I like the fact that, you know, it really is a bunch of cutscenes kind of put together, and you do very little. You know, there were even cutscenes that where it was like, okay, I'm kicking the crap out of this guy, and then I'm supposed to hit Y, and then as soon as I hit Y, it goes the opposite direction, and I get my ass kicked. But it completes the storyline. It makes sense in that particular way. The way they did Big Show, he was just awesome. You know, I kind of feel bad for guys like Mark Henry, who just got punched out, you know, before they even got in the match. You know, I mean, there were a lot of guys that really were underutilized in this road to WrestleMania, but they did wonders with the Big Show. The whole WCW storyline, I thought, was great.
The whole thing with Rey Mysterio was confusing.
I wish we would have had, like, Diamond Dallas Page and, you know, some of the other guys. I wish Scott Hall would have been in this. I mean, there's so many other people that could have been involved in the WCW storyline that would have really worked. I mean, I would have loved, quite frankly, to have seen a Scott Steiner, you know?
My reaction to when, like, when you lose at Mania and it starts playing, like, the music, I was like, really? Is that it?
I thought like, that too, man. I loved it. I was like, wow, so the good guy didn't win in this one. That's awesome.
I was thinking, wait a minute, so does that mean that next year's game is going to be WCW versus WWE 2013? And it's like, I was like, oh, we're back. That's cool. But anyway, if you think about it logically, why would WCW give up the year contract that they had in a Survivor Series match? To me, that made no sense. Surely WCW could have...
Well, no. It did make sense because it was Triple H basically saying, you know, I think we can beat you, and Nash having the pride and being like, I just beat you. I'm going to beat you again. It's not even worth my time, but okay, we'll do this. You know, and Nash was a monster in that last match. So, yeah. I mean, I liked what they did with it. I think that the storyline writing for Road to WrestleMania is great. I would like to see next year, I would actually like to see an NXT storyline where you start off in NXT rather than as you start off as Jacob Cass, you hear in the background that you won NXT, you know, and then 2 months later you're making your debut on Raw. I'd rather see you actually go through NXT or Tough Enough and get your way into the roster. But I liked how they did Road to WrestleMania this year, minus the backstage stuff. I really think they did a good job with it. I mean, the storylines were pretty solid. The UK, I loved. In fact, I'm thinking at this point, I know that I had said something about doing an eFed. I don't know that I have time to do an eFed. But I've given serious thought to putting together like a couple calls from, you know, most of us here on the network, you know, like myself and Trey and you and Andy and, you know, maybe Walkie and Mindwipe and everyone else that's associated with the network, and just kind of doing like a thing once a month or something with that, just to have a little fun, just to kind of showcase things off. But I thought about really, you know, putting like you and all the other English people in a UK stable. I think it'd be great.
We could be a fucking British version of the Nexus.
Exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just right now, I'm having a lot of fun. But my overall review with the game, like I said, I've enjoyed so many aspects of the game. I've really been playing the shit out of it the last week or two. I have Saints Row that I haven't even opened. You know, I went and bought Fallout New Vegas for $20 the other day. I still haven't opened it. You know, I literally, all my time where I've had free time, I've been playing WW12. I've really enjoyed the shit out of this game. So I'm going to give you my review or my rating for this. You know, I know IGN gave this, what, like a 9 out of 10 or something? Or maybe it was an 8.5 out of 10. I don't remember. And I'm going to kind of agree on some of those lines. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I would give it a 9.5 if it wasn't for all the glitches and the online problems. But I kind of agree with that. I think that a 9 is a fair rating for this game. I think it's the best in a long time. You know, Here Comes the Pain was my favorite game. And then it was SmackDown versus Raw 2006. And now it's this one. So I've definitely seen improvements along the way. We've seen some years where there wasn't improvements. And granted, this is a new engine, basically. It's a new game franchise. This is the first one, and I think as time goes by, we're going to see a lot of improvements. I want to see Create a Belt come back. I think that's really important, especially if you're going to have a universe mode where you can make your own show. I also want to see you able to add shows. Like, if I want Monday Night Raw to stay on Monday, then I should have it on Monday. If I want ECW on Tuesday, then I should have the option of putting a show on Tuesday. If I want WCW on Wednesday, I should be able to have that. I really want more creativity more options available at my fingertips, where if I really want to, you know, make this thing awesome and I want to play different companies during different days of the week and have more shows, I'd like that option.
So one thing I like to see, and like, and it's kind of linked to the WrestleMania. Do you know when like they had the cutscene of Nash talking to Honda? They still had a WWE microphone, right? It would be cool just to see that, say WCW, and also have the referee in a WCW outfit instead of the typical WWE. I mean, just small things like that. I mean, like you say, if you want to have WCW on a Tuesday, you could like have the referee go from the black and white to whatever they wore in WCW. Like, just have like the microphones, have the logo of the show. Just small things like that. And also get rid of Cole and King.
Yeah, and make it easier. Make it easier to get rid of people in Universe Mode if I don't want them. Like, Trey and I are both having the problem where Michael Cole is showing up in his Universe after he's taken him out, made him a free agent, and he shows up and is in, like, title pitchers, you know? And he was getting frustrated with me today, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, I don't know. And, you know, I've had some issues with the customization. You know, I want an all-call Universe. I don't necessarily want to use the WWE guys, but in a lot of ways I'm forced to use them. I can edit as many calls out, but you still have to have actual people from the roster. You can't have a complete all-call thing, and I think that that's something that we need to have. I mean, if we want that option, we should have it. But I think that they're on the right track, and I like the direction that this series is going. So my review, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10, and I hope to see improvement along the way, and hopefully we'll have more feedback from THQ in the coming months. You know, I'd like to have Marcus on the show to kind of get his viewpoint on some things, and you know, maybe Brian Williams down the road when the next game is ready to come out. I'd like to be a little more interactive. And one of the things that we're going to do on this show, and I neglected doing it on this show because of the Causecast, is highlight characters, highlight arenas, highlight finishing moves, highlight stories. You know, that was something that we failed to do at the Causecast. And I attempted to do that. We did it once, and then we just kind of let it fall by the wayside. And so every couple of weeks, we're going to make it a goal on this show to highlight things. And I'll find things, and I'm sure Sean will find things. And with you having a PS3, I want you to find things. You know, and we'll basically have those aspects covered. But that's what I want to do and make it a little more interactive and kind of get awareness out to people who don't know about characters or don't know about the stories that are out there that are worth playing. And I think we can accomplish that with our community, with our family here. And, you know, I'm sorry that I neglected to do that in the beginning. But now I'm kind of dedicated to making this show what it should be. And that's what it's going to be.
So I did try to get Marcus on the show tonight, but he said that he's too busy wanting to play games.
Hey, he wants to play some WWE 12. I can't blame him, brother. If I wasn't doing a show tonight, I'd be playing WWE 12.
If I was doing a show tonight, I'd be sleeping right now because it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Now, with that said, like I said, I've given you my review of WWE 12. I think it's a step in the right direction. I talked about this a little on WNL, for those of you that might not have heard about this, but I tried to talk about this a couple weeks ago when my power died. One of the things, and I'm crossing my fingers as I speak here, making sure that we're still on the air. Okay, we are. One of the things that I want to do with the game on a monthly basis going forward, and I'm going to have some time this week to make this happen, is I'm going to do a Fantasy Warfare feature. It might not be called that. I haven't decided on a technical name for it. But what I want to do is do this Fantasy Warfare thing where, you know, I take people who've never really had a match against each other, you know, and kind of have a little fun with it. You know, what would happen? Kind of like a what-if scenario. And for the first one, I have chosen Stone Cold Steve Austin, simply because the DVD just came out, and it's awesome, by the way. But I've chosen Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Rattlesnake, to go head-on collision with the Viper, Randy Orton. You know, I'm talking Stone Cold from, like, the 2001 era when he was still on top of the business. And Randy Orton, say, maybe a year or two ago when he was pretty much, you know, the hottest thing in wrestling. And take those two time periods, put them together in a match at a WrestleMania, you know, and pull out all the stops. You know, you see all the big vintage spots from Austin. You see all the big vintage spots from Randy Orton, you know, and have an ending that people would be like, wow, I can't believe I just saw that. So that's something that I'd like to do. And I'm going to get some people's help. I'd like to do these online. I don't want to play this match by myself and then go back and edit, and do this. I want to actually have these matches online and get some assistance. But if you noticed on the SNS Facebook page, I actually asked some people. I have an ending in mind for what I want to do with Orton versus Austin. But I'm getting feedback from the SNS family on how they think that match would go, whether Austin goes over or Orton goes over, or, you know, back and forth there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think right now who I would like to see this week. That'd be...
No, Anthony, they haven't. He says they've wrestled each other. No, they haven't.
Matt Hardy versus... Wow.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, his in-ring career ended in 2003.
No, Randy Orton, he means... I think he means Hogan and Beefcake.
Oh, Hogan and Beefcake?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think they have wrestled. Yeah, they have. They wrestled in WCW when he turned bad, when he turned into the Zodiac, the Booty Man, all these other stupid gimmicks that Beefcake had. I thought you were talking about Austin and Orton. I was saying, no, they've never wrestled each other.
Yeah, I mean, that could be... I'm trying to think of like who I would like to see. I mean, you could do Ken Anderson versus Austin because, well, TNA are trying to push him as the Austin.
And that's something, you know, again, one of the things that I want to do with this series moving forward, like I said, I've already decided on the first one. But I think what I want to do is give you guys some options. Like, I'll probably think up some other ones. I already have some on my mind that I'd like to do going forward. And what I'll do is when we get ready to do all these, I'll put up a poll or ask the question, you know, who you guys want to see, and I'll throw up like three different names. Some of the ones I want to do for this project are like Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles. You know, Shawn Michaels from 1996 maybe versus 2002 or 2003's AJ Styles.
Trish Stratus versus the Fabulous Moolah.
Well, there you go. There's a good one for women's matches. We could do that. You know, I'm thinking something along the lines of Kurt Angle versus Ken Shamrock, the Battle of the Ankle Lock.
The Dudley Boys versus the Hawk and Animal.
You know, one of the big ones that I have planned that I'd like to kind of plan out, and I'm definitely going to use Community Creations for this one, but I want to do Hulk Hogan and kind of relive his match that he had at WrestleMania 6 with the Ultimate Warrior. Only I want to change it up and make it a what-if scenario. Instead of the Ultimate Warrior, what if it was Sting, the NWA version of Sting from 1990? Sting and Hogan at WrestleMania 6. How would the outcome happen, and what would have happened had Sting been the one to face Hogan and take the title instead of the Warrior?
Billy Gunn versus Dolph Ziggler?
No, that's too easy.
It'd be fun to watch, though.
Big Show versus Yokozuna. That'd be a good one, but the problem is it's hard to make a good Yokozuna.
Have they announced yet if Andre the Giant is going to be DLC?
I have heard nothing on that.
Because it's weird, because if you go over to the WWE Games website, and where it says all the trademark for like the wrestlers, at the bottom it mentions that they got the rights for him from the family.
Yeah, but I think that's from All Stars is what you're talking about. Because, you know, he is an All Stars, and I think that THQ has the trademark for that game is what I know what you're talking about. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, like, I'm right now on the WWE 12 website, on the roster, and it says Andre the Giant TM is a trademark of Andre R. Rusmoff, the testimonial trust.
Right, but so, I'm pretty sure that's for All Stars because he's not in this game.
Unless they do like they can do with Bret Hart possibly in Puma's DLC.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. One of the other, you guys are talking Dolph Ziggler versus Billy Gunn. I'm thinking more outside the box. That's almost too easy. How about Dolph Ziggler versus Mr. Perfect?
Epic match.
I mean, really think about it. You know, I mean, put two and two together, dig a little deeper. You know, I mean,
Arn Anderson versus Bobby Roode.
Anderson versus Roode will be good. So, I mean, there's a ton of those that we can do, and it's a feature that we're going to do every month, and I'll make sure that I put the match together and have it, you know, showcased at least by the end of every month and have it on the YouTube page, and, you know, and that's my contribution. That's some little way to make things a little more active using WWE 12 and having a little fun with it.
Sounds like a plan, I think.
So, and that really, like I said, that's my goal with that. And, you know, you guys' input is very welcome, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. And if you have ideas, make sure you send those to me, whether it's an email or whether it's on the SNS Facebook page. When I'm ready to decipher who the next match is going to be, I'll put some down on the Facebook page, and, you know, I'll run a tally of, you know, the next one, you know, like who you guys vote on. And as far as the finishes for matches, I'm still debating on how I want to do that. I don't want it to be too obvious, but I'm thinking, you know, I'll just kind of go by the feedback and look at what we have and, you know, throw a surprise in there. So, I mean, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Vince McMahon versus JJ Sexy.
That's easy. I'd fucking kill him.
No, McMahon goes over. Clean as well.
So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and take some phone calls. We're going to be reading emails later if you want to send your emails to unpluggedjj@yahoo.ca. So until then, we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines. The number to call 501-588-7957 if you want to talk about WWE 12, you want to talk about the Fantasy Warfare, SmackDown, TLC, the Mixer Board, whatever you want to talk about. This is your opportunity to... if you bring up the Mixer Board, I might start crying. But this is your opportunity to call in and be a part of the show and, you know, join us. Have some fun.
Do you think at some point WWE will, WWE Games will make the Kane masked outfit available? Because they should. Because had a masked Kane been on, like, every single WWE game for the last 3 years?
Well, of all years, not to have masked Kane. It's kind of funny that this was the one that they didn't, right?
Yeah, so maybe they can just use, like I know it's not that easy, but they can just use last year's character model and then pull it over.
You know, and I'm still not 100% on this Kane character. I mean, I thought it was cheesy as fuck to have that stupid welding-looking Predator mask on, and then he had another mask on underneath. I was like, when I saw that, and I was like, that's the new mask for Kane? I was like, what?
It looked like he stole that mask from Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, that new mask is bizarre because if you look at the mask that they showed in the promo, that was his old mask that he wore. And he even put it on. He put on the old mask. Yeah, he comes out with this new fucked up one, which I'm guessing that, like I said, they're going to have him destroy everyone on the roster. And apparently that mask makes him a better wrestler.
Well, and see, that was the thing. It's like, so what? Kane has a mask now and now he's a badass? I mean, how do you explain how he went from being, you know, this character that was so dominant to taking the mask off and, you know, just kind of floating around the mid-card there for a while, you know, after having another run with the championship? I mean, it's kind of bothersome. When I think about it, it's like, so how does having a mask change him, really, at the end of the day?
If you watched the promo that they aired for him, when he put the mask on, his eye became darker and eviler. Maybe the mask is what possesses his power.
Maybe. I don't know. I just... And to me, that mask... And again, the lighting was red, so I didn't get a good chance to look at it. I've looked at some of the Facebook, you know, pictures that have been posted. That mask almost, to me, reminds me of the old Undertaker mask that Taker wore back in, like, 95 when Mabel broke his orbital bone and he was protecting his face.
And did you know that mask actually led to the idea of Mankind being made. Mankind came from that idea because Vince McMahon wanted a mock Taker. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. But, I mean, that's what that mask to me looks like. It looks like the old orbital bone protective mask that the Undertaker wore in 95. Only it's not gray. It's like reddish.
But, yeah, that mask led to Mankind being born. True story.
See, you're learning stuff on Unplugged tonight, people. Things you didn't know. You learn about Don Jardine, 5 years removed from his death, and you learn about G.I. Joe. So, or the mask that Kane has is from G.I. Joe. There you go. Let's go to the phone lines real quick, and welcome to the show. Who's this?
Hey, J.J. Bronx, what's up?
Not much, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Glad to have Unplugged back yet again. But, you know, I was thinking about the whole Kane mask thing, and I thought it was cool, but The problem is, now that we've seen his face for years and he's been playing that character, I kind of agree with what you're saying. You can't get him back to that mystique he had before he took the mask off.
You know, unless you're going to do a storyline where he gets burnt again. You know, he falls in a dumpster and he gets crispy, you know, he's crispy creamed or something, right? I mean, that's the only way it works. You know, I mean, now it's like, okay, I got the mask, I've been out on injury and I'm wearing a mask now and I'm a badass. It's like, okay, man, sure, okay. You know, I would almost think that if Glenn Jacobs wants to retire, they should have just debuted a new Kane. You had the perfect opportunity to do it if you wanted to do that.
Nah, you know why I disagree with that? Kane is kind of like The Undertaker. No one else could have pulled off that character like Jacobs. No one. I mean, I know a lot of people say you just put a big guy under the mask, but, I mean, just the way he did it. As a matter of fact, today I went back and watched. Someone posted on the SNS Facebook page Kane's debut when he first came out. And I remember, like, as a kid, it scared the shit out of me. It's just like it's the mannerisms. I think the worst thing they ever did to Kane was have him unmasked, and I was at the Garden when it happened.
I agree. I thought that when they did that, it was the stupidest thing ever because they made Glenn Jacobs shave his head with that stupid haircut, leading you to believe that the hair was in the mask the whole time. And I thought, man, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, they messed that shit up. By the way, I wanted to switch gears for a second and talk a little news. You would know this because you know every damn thing about wrestling. When Batista's contract was about to expire, he chose not to re-sign. Am I correct?
That is correct, yes.
Did you read today that he's talking shit now on the current product, which I think is a little... And, you know, I don't know. You took your ball and you left. He kind of reminds me of Brock a little bit. And he was talking, like, really, you know, a lot of shit on the current product. And I'm not thrilled with the current product either. But, you know, you want to try to be an actor. You want to try to be an MMA. And they interview him. And, I mean, he's – I think today he burned a lot of bridges with the WWE.
Well,
yes and no.
Exactly. I think that he makes some very good points when he says that, you know, guys like Rock and Austin and Triple H went to war and they busted their ass and they were given an opportunity and they had to sink or swim. And he's absolutely 100% correct. I mean, the WWE almost, ladies and gentlemen, went under because of WCW. I mean, Vince McMahon was about this close to being bankrupt. If it hadn't been for the Attitude Era, WWE might not be around anymore. WCW might still be running strong. And whether you realize that or not, you have to understand that this PG era, I'm not the biggest fan of, but it is kosher for my kids to watch it. You know, I don't mind my kids watching it because at the end of the day, they're not really over sensationalizing sex. I'm not going to watch Edge and Lita, you know, having a sex act in the fucking ring. You know, I'm not going to see things that I don't want my kids to see. You know, I grew up on the PG product. But as a fan of the Attitude Era, when it got edgy as I got older, I was a fan of that as well. Now, I see where Batista's coming from. It's hard for guys today to really get over because they're very, for lack of a better term, handcuffed to creative. They're not really given that option to go out. And, you know, again, I'm not there. I've never worked for the WWE. I can't say that he's 100% right or 100% wrong. But a lot of the things that he said made sense to me, that you're not really given that opportunity. He's not into the PG wrestling product. You know, it's hard to be a badass heel and go out there in a PG product, you know? You know, it's contradictory when they've got this big program, Don't Be a Bully, and yet you see bullying every week on the show. It's hard to make that work. I hate the fact that Linda McMahon is running for the Senate, and that's why they've instituted this whole PG era. I'd like to see it maybe a PG-13 kind of thing, you know, but they don't push the boundaries because they don't have to. It's safe to have John Cena as the champion, but at the same time, he's also one of the biggest workhorses in the company, and whether we like it or not, he's kind of earned that spot. I just feel like he's been shoved down our throat, but I think Batista makes some very valid points.
Plus, if need be, they can use that for a future feud if he returns, because he did basically say that Cena's fault. So they could use that as bait if they wanted to have a match between Cena and Batista again.
True enough.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the other thing I think that's changed, I mean, if you read, now you've got NXT, you've got Tough Enough. I mean, if you read Foley's book, he talks about eating peanut butter in his car for years and to work his way up. You read, you know, The Rock's book, how he had to basically find mattresses in the garbage to sleep on. You know, The Rock tweeted the other day, a few years ago, I only had $7 in my pocket. Now, I think that what's changed also is the gateway into the business has become a lot different, because you've got things like NXT, you've got things like Tough Enough, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You've gotten some talent out of those shows, but you know, when you guys did the interview with Shawn Michaels earlier this year, on Wrestling News Live, where he mentioned, you know, a guy comes out and says, I really love the business, and Shawn says, well, I don't believe him. You know, maybe what's changed is it's a little bit easier to break into the business than it was maybe 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, going back and watching the Shawn Michaels DVD over the last couple of days, you know, you don't have that territory system that Shawn Michaels and the older wrestlers grew into. You know, Shawn Michaels started wrestling at, what, 18, 19 years old, and worked in San Antonio, and then he worked in Minneapolis. He worked for the AWA. He worked in Memphis. You know, then he worked for the WWE, and then he went to this territory, and he went to that territory, and he got better. And you learn different things as you go along. Now you have one developmental system, depending on where you go. If it's TNA, now you've got OVW, okay, which they're just now starting to implement. If it's WWE, you've got FCW, or you've got places like Ring of Honor where you learn how to wrestle, or you learn to wrestle in indie style. Because you go back and you look at indie style matches, and you've got high spot, you know, over the top bullshit. You know, wrestling has changed to the fact where it's not about what it used to be. And I think that the old fundamentals of wrestling need to be brought back. You know, a DDT shouldn't be the first thing you do in a match. It's a finisher, you know? A lot of things need to change. The psychology is not there. And I'm hoping that with new changes that they're going to be making to the developmental system, that maybe we'll see psychology. It's a shame to me that a guy like Jake Roberts isn't teaching the WWE, these next class of guys, how to work a match. I went back and watched the 2003 Survivor Series the other day. And the psychology in the Shawn Michaels match, where it was Team Bischoff versus Team Austin, and the stipulation was that if Team Bischoff won, then Austin was fired, he was done. And HBK and Randy Orton were the last two in there, and HBK was all by himself on that team for a majority of it, and was taking, you know, triple team moves and double team moves from Bischoff's team. And the psychology that Shawn Michaels had in that match alone beats anything I've seen in probably 10 years. That's the problem. There's not someone teaching them proper psychology. They go to FCW, and then you got Jinder Mahal, a guy who's green as shit, comes out. Even though he's been wrestling in Western Canada for about 10 years, he doesn't have the necessary tools to make it on live TV. They send him to FCW and say, okay, yeah, you're a big guy. We think you can do something. They bring him to TV and throw him to the wolves, and he looks like a fucking idiot. And that's what you've got right now, and that's the problem with the business.
Well, I read that Triple H is going to make some changes to developmental, and I think Triple H is a guy who could, you know, who could really do it. But you make a good point about finishers. I mean, Jake, I'm sorry. There is no other guy in the history of the business, in my opinion, who had more of a vicious, just out of nowhere DDT like Jake did. I mean, you know, Jake's DDT was the fucking RKO. He hit it out of nowhere, and when he hit it, it was over. I don't care who was in the ring. You know, now, you know, John Cena takes a DDT on concrete steps, and he's, you know, freaking out, you know, back in the ring in 2 minutes. I think a lot of what's changed is the lack of selling. You know, you make it look more like a cartoon when you do this devastating move on a guy, and he's back on his feet 10 seconds later. That screws it up, too.
No, I agree. But Maze is asking me examples from the HBK match. the fact that the guy's all by himself and that you're literally sitting on the edge of your seat the whole time this match is going on, wondering if HBK is going to overcome the odds. That's one of the biggest psychology aspects of psychology right there. You need to know how to work a crowd. And unfortunately, the guys of today, most of them don't know how to work a crowd. That's what I mean by psychology.
Yeah, you got to get some of the older guys in there. I mean, can you imagine, it was weird. Today, for some reason, I just had the urge to listen to the Unplugged, the Macho Man tribute. I mean, it's such a shame that, the WWE and him couldn't mend fences before he passed on. Can you imagine Macho as a trainer? Oh, my God. The guys you'd have coming up.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Bronx, is there anything else, my friend?
Nah, man, I'll, let some other people call in and take care, man. And, R.I.P. to the mixer board. I got to admit, I pissed myself a little bit during that tribute. That was fucking awesome.
It wasn't supposed to be funny, Bronx. It's supposed to be from the heart, man. Don't crap on my tribute, man. Come on. Show some respect, you tasteless bastard.
But if you really do give the mixer board to your daughter for Christmas, you really need to webcam that shit because it's probably going to be funny.
Then I'll be known as the Grinch that stole Christmas, won't I?
You'll be sleeping on the sofa.
I might be. Who knows? All right, Bronx. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right. Let's go back to the phone line. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Hey, it's Andy. What's up, dude?
Hey, Andy. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. I don't know what to say because, after Bronx, I don't know. How to top that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that have been happening with me because I don't have a whole lot to say. I'm thinking about coming up to Calgary kind of early, man. Maybe May instead of August.
Oh, yeah?
You know why? Because I'm bored with college right now, and I'm happy with the break I'm taking. And, it's just so, I'm sorry to say this, but it's just fucked up the way that I've had to deal with college, and it's kind of like you were talking earlier with, the business being fucked up. It's kind of the same thing with me in college. It's just the psychology of it. And you had said something a couple weeks ago or sometime, I don't remember when, how when you go to college, they try to mold you into what they think you're going to be. And I just felt like, with me being so bored with it, and it's kind of the same thing in the business when a guy that comes up in the indie circuit, I think what's happening is they're trying to mold those guys into what they think they're going to be, and that's the problem with me. I think that because I'm handicapped, people don't know how to react to it, and I think they try to mold me into something that I don't want to be, and I get bored with it. And so I'm just going to take a little break and see what happens. And I'm actually right now, I'm online, and I'm seeing this Hyatt downtown. It looks pretty good. So I don't have a whole lot to say. Just want to say hi and say that about, all that stuff, because I can't top Bronx. But I'm thinking about May, so hopefully by March I'll have the passport. So
well, that's the big issue there, is getting the passport.
Because I don't know how that works. How exactly does it work? Because I have to call the post office here in Florida, here at my dad's. I know that. But, what happens when I walk up to customs? Are they kind of mean? Are they a heel?
Well, I'll be real honest with you, man. I didn't have any problems with customs when I came in, but I've been told that it really does depend on the people working there. Like from day to day, you might have an asshole working the fucking desk at customs. It really varies. I've had pleasant experiences every time I've come through customs. So I always hear that there's always that, that chance that you're going to run into a dick, which is everywhere. There's dicks everywhere.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come up on a Friday so that I can be there for Unplugged that night. I'm planning on getting into Calgary early afternoon because I'm looking right now. And I've been saving some money. I don't have it all saved yet. but by then I'll have it all saved up to pay for the trip. I'm going to come in early Friday afternoon, and I'm going to leave in time to get back for Raw and then the show afterward. And then when I'm back in Florida, you can play that song that you played for the board earlier and say, "Hey, Andy, here's a song that I have for you because you left Calgary, and we'll all cry because I left."
That could be a good radio moment, man.
Yeah, man. All right, man. Well, I just wanted to say hi, and that's about it. Hope you have a great night.
All right, Andy, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks. All right, bye.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
This is Anthony from the chat.
Anthony, what's going on, dude?
Now, first, I want to shed a tear for the mixer. Oh, God rest his soul.
You know, it...
I'm sure he didn't go off his face on that thing.
You know, that mixer... See, when did I get that mixer? I got that mixer in 2009, because for a while I was using Dave's. And then I finally went out and bought my own. So for about 2 years, that thing did me well. You know, I think I was using that when I was still a part of WrestleView. And when we started the SNS Radio Network, it was very instrumental. And, you know, had a pretty good life here. And we did a lot of bits with that board. And I do miss it, but, you know, we got to move on. And I think this new mixer board sounds, you know, it's the same point. It's the same exact model. Same color and everything. It's just not the same mixer. It's not the same. The memories, the sentimental value is still in the old one. It's gone. Never forgotten.
Alexa comes down to the, Alexa comes in the room, and she's coming to drink. Like, take it back.
Oh, yes. Me and Lexi had the talk. That will never happen again. Or she'll be at the orphanage.
She's probably going to have nightmares about mixers now.
Maybe. As long as she has the fear of daddy, that's all that matters.
I'm kind of interested in the pay-per-view because you kind of look at it. They have some of the main guys not on the card. Cena, but he's probably going to have a promo or something like that. And Sheamus, they're not on it. So I think the pay-per-view can be these. Maybe see how it can go without having some of the bigger guys. And then they have Randy Orton and Punk.
You know, if Cena's not on this pay-per-view, it'll be the first pay-per-view he hasn't been on in friggin' years.
Hell yeah, but I think he's going to be in a backstage promo or something like that.
Oh, he'll have something to do, I'm sure. He'll probably cut a promo on The Rock. Knowing Cena, he'll come out and talk about how The Rock should be there because, well, you know, he's there every day and he doesn't bring it via satellite and it'll be that same blah, 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 blah that we hear each and every week ad nauseum.
And I think, yeah, the whole idea of having Cena becoming heel, they can't just do it. They have to do a slow burn with it, and then probably after Mania or something like that, do something to make him a heel. But WWE pulling the trigger, that's like Bronx making a good joke. Ain't going to happen.
Damn. Nicely done, Anthony.
Well, gratefully, we didn't hear him try to do a joke earlier, so.
No, I think I stole his thunder tonight, but it's all good. We love Bronx none the same.
Yeah, that, and he won't leave.
He's like that rash from Kelly. He just won't go away.
Oh, God. But I just remembered how you guys were in the last TLC show, and if you guys really going to have Wild Turkey and all that, oh, God.
I don't know if we're going to have Wild Turkey, but I am going to have some Bacardi spiced rum that Mark the Shark DiCarlo gave to me on my birthday. I got like a huge bottle of it, and so I'm going to make sure that we down a pretty good amount of that. Well, at least I'm probably going to down a good amount of that. I mean, it's become a tradition. Every TLC now, I've got to get schnockered. So we'll see what happens.
And one other thing. They've been having this match between Ryder and Dolph at the pay-per-view, which I don't think it's going to be a good match because they always have good ones. But on the Ryder's YouTube show, they've been building that somewhat more than they have on TV.
They have. You know, the sad thing is, I thought it was great that Ryder basically... took himself from obscurity, did the YouTube thing, and really blew up. I think it's kind of pathetic that Tyler Rex and all these other guys now got their own little thing that they're doing, trying to do the same thing. Has anybody seen the Mid-Card Mafia? It's not that good. I watched an episode, and I was like, uh-huh. It's South Park meets Kurt Hawkins and fucking Tyler Rex. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it worked for them. Let's see if it works for me. They wouldn't realize you're just ripping off somebody, so.
Oh, well. They're trying to be inventive, but, you know, it isn't working. Got to think outside the box sometimes.
And just lastly, I think for WrestleMania, The Undertaker should not. The only thing to put Triple H with him is maybe because The Undertaker is probably not 100% better. That I know I can work with Triple H, can do a good match, and he can somewhat protect me. But three times, not going to work. Have like Foley with him. That'd be interesting if they can have, because he said I have one match left in me.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see it. I think it'd be great, you know, to see Mankind and Undertaker at WrestleMania. It never happened before. I don't know. And again, I'm a fan of both Taker and Triple H, but I think three times is enough. I mean, two times is enough, really. I don't agree with that decision.
Yeah, if it's Undertaker's last Mania, then, like, get inducted to the Hall of Fame, and, like, say, Mick Foley as well, then have him wrestle next night on the pay-per-view as two Hall of Famers. They did it with Flair.
I agree, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
That's pretty much it, so I'll just get out and say, hey, the mix is gone, but at least you got a gift for Lexi.
That's right. One of many. One of many.
Yeah, also give him the Batman mask that was for Crowley.
Now, Crowley doesn't want to part with that.
Because I don't... How can I part with it when I never actually got the fucking Batman mask?
Well, see, now you're bringing up old wounds.
Old wounds. They were just closed as well. Fucking Batman mask. I despise you.
You better bring up old wounds and touch wood.
Wow.
Just because you're about to have some fucked up sayings, right? No need to be harsh to me.
God damn, he went there.
He did. What a fucker. End the call right now. Kick him out.
All right, British fuck.
Damn.
Wanker.
All right. Take this shit elsewhere. Motherfuckers.
UK ass?
Hmm? Exactly.
Oh, that was lame, I know.
That's pretty lame, Anthony. But anyway, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey. Okay, bye.
Bye. So we'll take a few more calls, guys, then we're going to wrap things up here on the program. For some reason, I can't even open up my email right now, so emails are probably out of the question tonight. So that kind of sucks.
I'm pretty sure you can probably make up the emails.
You want me to make up the emails?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. No. I'm not Jim Rome, man. Sorry. I can't do that. I don't want to steal his gimmick, you know? Now...
Hang on.
Did we talk about this in the news? Because I don't remember. I'm having a short-term memory right now. But did I hear... We didn't talk about Linda Hogan, did we?
No, I chose not to talk about Linda Hogan.
Oh, we got to talk about Linda Hogan, man. Apparently, Linda Hogan and Charlie Hill are going to be going to reality TV. That's kind of funny. It's like some kind of celebrity marriage rehab kind of thing.
Yeah.
And another couple that's going to be in it is DMX and his wife. Of all the people, DMX and his wife. That's fucking awesome.
At that point, I stopped caring.
And there was also, aside from that, I guess we'll change the subject. Aside from that, I think there was also a news story about Brock Lesnar that we didn't cover.
Yeah, I saw that earlier, but I didn't really catch it, what it said. What's actually about?
Basically, he's got some charges pending against him while he was hunting here in Alberta. Apparently, and I don't have the story in front of me, but it had something to do with some illegal hunting or something, and permits were out of whack or something, so he's got a court date in January.
Right. So the moral of the story is get your permit in order or you'll get your ass sent to jail.
Well, the moral of the story is, you know, obey the law. Really, when it comes down to it, you know, if you're not obeying the law, then you got problems.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not really into the hunting shit, so.
No, but wouldn't it be cool to see, like, Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold on, like, fucking Shawn Michaels' hunting show? I think that'd be awesome.
Is Shawn's show getting renewed?
I don't know. I still can't see it here in Canada, which kind of bothers me.
I mean, I know it's been getting quite good, like, reviews from what I've seen. Like, people are enjoying it.
Right.
But I'm wondering how well it's being received in terms of ratings.
See, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
Oh, well. I'm sure in time it will come out.
True. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Is it DJ?
Hey, DJ. What's on your mind, man?
Well, not much. You know, just listening to you guys, you know, doing your thing on this really cold Friday night down here in Texas.
How cold is
so
it?
So, how's the mixer? How's the new mixer treating you?
Mixer's great. It's working good, man. How cold is it down there today?
It's about 35 degrees right now.
Really? It's a little colder here. I think it's... Let's see what... Let me actually pull up my my iPhone real quick, and I'll tell you what the exact temperature is. It's in the minus, I know, because we still have snow on the ground. But then again, it's, you know, it's Celsius and Fahrenheit are two different things, right?
Yeah. Okay, because right now here in England, it's 37 Celsius. No, Fahrenheit. Yeah, 37 Fahrenheit.
Currently, it is 5 degrees.
Good God.
Which is different from, obviously, think about it like this. Freezing
is zero.
Is, well, in the States, under Fahrenheit, it's 32 degrees, okay?
Okay.
So, minus 5 would be like, see, if freezing here is zero, and it's 32 degrees there, you do the math.
Well, no, right now in England, it's 3 degrees Celsius. Which is 37 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so it's 37 degrees here, I think, basically, because it's above freezing.
Yeah. So basically, I now know how it feels to live in Canada. So all I need to do is go build myself an igloo.
Now, what really sucks is when you're like sitting at minus 30 or minus 40. That shit's unbearable.
But you knew that when you moved to Canada. You knew that.
But yes, Crowley. But I also thought when I moved to Canada that everybody lived in igloos. And they hung out at Tim Hortons. So I was very surprised when I got here and saw that they actually had electricity in homes.
That's a myth. Total myth.
You know, the only thing to do in Canada is, you know, when you get up from your igloo, you go to Tim Hortons all day and you watch hockey. I mean, that's what they do here.
I had some guy that came into my work the other day who was from Canada, right? And he had the most annoying accent in the world. Yet when I speak to you or Harmony, well, mainly Harmony, you guys have no accent. Why do some Canadians have a really annoying accent?
Did you ask where he was from?
No, because all he kept saying was A, A, A. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Because, if it was a newfie, then they got a real thick accent.
I literally, all I understood was the word A, 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 at the end of every sentence. Like... It wasn't your accent, it was Harmony's accent. It was a really strong, annoying accent that wanted to punch him in the face.
The definition of irony. Listening to a British guy talk about Canadians because he can't understand Canadians, yet he's British and most people can't understand him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is irony.
Yeah, you all speak English, so in theory, you guys have the accent, not us.
What?
Well, we speak English, so we should have the default accent. So you guys all have the weird accent, not us.
I'm American, dude. I do have a slight Southern accent. It's not nearly what it used to be. I mean, I used to sound like Trey almost when I was living in Oklahoma, when I was living in Texas and Arkansas. So, I mean, my accent has changed quite a bit. I've almost become Canadianized, I guess.
To me, you sound normal. I don't hear an accent when you speak.
Well, thank you.
I mean, yeah, it's a good thing.
not that that's a badge of honor or anything. I mean, nothing wrong with having a Canadian accent. So,
well,
trust me, Kelly. There's nothing wrong with having a Canadian accent. Okay.
I'll shut up before I get fired.
Might be a good idea. Might be a good idea. So, anything else on your mind, DJ?
Well, you know this whole TLC card. You know how you said that you couldn't get your email, and I sent you an email. I'm like, I'm going to call in now, and I'm just going to tell you my picks. So my picks would be, I'm going to see in the Henry versus Big Show match. Henry, I think Big Show's going to become champion on Sunday. Triple H versus Kevin Nash. I still think it should be an Iron Man match, but I say Triple H will go over, and we hope that Kevin Nash doesn't pull a quad.
Yes. That's important.
Yes, that's an important thing. Zack Ryder will beat Dolph Ziggler and become champion with Swagger interfering, calling that.
I think it's going to be a combination of Swagger interfering and then Cena coming out to help Ryder. I mean, let's think about this for a second. John Cena is not on the card. He gave up his spot so that Zack Ryder could get the push. Does anybody else see that John Cena is probably in some way, shape, or form going to interfere in that match and help Ziggler lose the belt and Ryder win it, possibly leading into a Ziggler-Cena feud that might actually help elevate a guy like Ziggler? Just thinking outside the box.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, from what I was reading, there were plans to have him be the guest referee. And then I think it was if Ziggler won, Cena got into the main event. So it'd be interesting to see if they do that, and will Cena give up his shot again to have Zack Ryder win the belt. But time will tell.
Bronx says it won't elevate Ziggler. Ziggler will just become another squash bitch for Cena. Bad idea. Unless Ziggler gets put over by John Cena. You got to look at it from the other side of the coin, too. Even if he does lose to John Cena or Randy Orton, being in the ring with them and having matches where he almost beats them elevates him. So I kind of disagree with that remark.
Yeah. I mean, you... As long as they have a good match and it's not just one-sided, it went home. I mean, do you know what I think hurt Ziggler the most? The fact that when he won the belt. Because that belt reign, wouldn't it, was like, what, 2 minutes long? So he's now classed as a former world champion, which I think they should just forget that and say that if he wins the belt, that'll be his first title run. Because his first title run was a joke.
I agree.
But this is WWE, so...
I completely agree. I think that... That's what they should have done. They should have never given him the belt. They should have never, you know, said, oh, he's a former world champion, because to me it kind of demeans him, and it was stupid for them to do that, but they did it. It is what it is.
Like, that's WWE booking for you.
Yeah, and as we know right now, WWE booking is not that fantastic in any way, shape, or form.
I can agree. Raw was horrible. It was like 31-hour wrestling, 2 hours of commercial, basically. That's how bad Raw is nowadays.
The only good thing about Raw was that we got to see the Road Dogg. Like, that was the best part of Raw for me.
Lita, for me, probably the best part of the show.
And the fact that they bleeped out his theme song, it was like, oh, you didn't know? Better call somebody. I mean, is that why they won't bring back Mr. Ass? Because they had to bleep out his whole song? Because I'm a man.
Because he had other songs too. Don't forget, he had that one Billy Gunn song, right?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, yeah, he couldn't be Mr. Ass, or else he'd be Mr. Asterisk, Mr. A double asterisk, you know, which would be kind of stupid.
Maybe that's why he wasn't on the King of Indie.
Maybe
because he is referenced as Mr. Ass.
Well, maybe that could be it. But I still think it's kind of shitty to do a King of the Ring DVD and leave out two of your King of the Rings. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, but once again, this is WWE that likes to change history and create history by themselves. So it's not shocking at all. If Billy returns, he can use his old Smoking Guns theme. No. Billy can't use his old Smoking Guns theme. It would be bad.
Yeah, maybe if he was like teed up with a Trey Dog, sure. That might work for those guys, but you know, not so much. Well, DJ, anything else before we get out of here, man?
Let me finish my card. I'm almost done. I have Barrett going over, okay, over Randy Orton. I have Punk retaining. I have Cody beating Booker T, but I'm going to call that match the match of the night. It has so much potential to be a really good match. So much Booker, so much Rose. They look like they can work well together. The feud's good. I'm calling that the match of the night. And then they have a rumor about Kane versus John Cena. And if it is true, I see Kane going over, and that could lead to an injury angle to Cena, possibly.
Well, you'd have to. I mean, you think you'd have to put Kane over. He just came back. It'd be stupid to bring Kane back, and then his first match, he loses to John Cena. It's like, what was the point in bringing him back?
WWE booking.
Well,
that's true. That's basically how they book shit. They like to push teams, and then they like. And then they, okay, well, you know what? You're going to lose, and you can have, like, the biggest push. Look at Beth Phoenix.
You know what?
She keeps losing.
If they do that to Kane and they have this impromptu match and John Cena goes over, then I hope Kane cuts an epic promo with the fucking voice changer. Sack it! Sack it!
Yeah, it would make no sense whatsoever if Cena puts, no, sorry, defeats Kane clean. That would destroy him putting the mask back on. It would destroy his return on Raw. It would be the most asinine thing that could ever happen. Hopefully not. Touch wood.
I agree. Not. Stop touching the wood. Are you in the sitting room? Are you touching the wood? What's wrong with you?
I am a thing, but I'm not. But touch wood means good. Like, hopefully not. No, just because you guys have weird saying, right?
It's knock on wood. Knock.
Evil.
Like that. Evil. Knock. Not touch. You're touching either. The wood. You got problems.
No, you don't. And it depends. It's saying that I know we're two different fucking parts of the globe, but different saying in different parts of the globe, man. Touch wood, knock wood,
fucking
different
touching
same.
Touching the wood. You're killing me, Curly. Killing me.
He is your co-host, though.
For now.
But no, that
for now.
That's it, though.
Don't let me fire your ass.
Yeah, just wait until you fire me. Now,
then again, you do have a domain that's coming up pretty quick, so.
No, that's what expired.
No, actually it expires next month. And now that you have a job, you can actually buy your own domain.
Yeah, I could do, but I might do that. But yeah, we'll see.
We'll talk about that off the air. We don't need to talk about business on the air. Let's not talk shop.
Yeah.
All right, DJ, is that's all the card, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to say I'll be here Sunday to listen to your I hope you're drunk by the time the second hour happens on TLC. You know.
Well, I'm glad that you wish it. My liver probably doesn't, but...
Yeah, because last year was so epic, and I listened to it again. I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing so hard. Oh, man. That was one of the greatest. I think that's one of the top three SNS moments that I've listened to.
You know,
have a good Friday. Enjoy your cold weather. And I will talk. And I'll see you guys on Sunday.
All right, man. We'll see you Sunday.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the phone line. This is our last call of the night. Welcome to Unplugged. Who's this?
Oh, man. I get to close out the show. Now I'm kind of nervous.
You get to close the motherfucker down, man.
Oh, shit. That's a lot of pressure on me. You was there reserved for people like Don Bronson shit. I'm just a lonely black man in Alabama. Okay. But what I want to say, I was looking at our SmackDown, and when did Mexican American sign with the WWE?
You know, that's a good question. I was thinking that myself, you know. I mean, aside from the noticeable guy doesn't look like Hernandez, I mean, Hunico and Epico and all the other ones, man. I mean, they look like Mexican America. It's kind of a rip. It's kind of funny though, but it's kind of a rip.
Well, Kurt, and now you can officially say that the WWE is officially stealing TNA ideas. Cause damn.
I read on like apparently on Superstars they came to the ring on like a bicycle, something like that. I mean, are they now also rehashing the Mexicals? I mean, I don't really get why every Mexican faction has to hate America and go around on bicycles.
Well, that's like a stereotype. They, you know, I guess they, you know, movie stereotypes. You know, all Mexican kingdoms they have, you know, homemade bicycles. So.
speaking of Mexican stereotypes, you gotta love this shit. So I unveiled, and I'm gonna be doing a video probably within the next week of some of the characters I've made on WWE 12, like myself, and obviously Trey made his own character, and I've kind of tweaked it a little bit. So I'm actually gonna put some of these matches and stuff online just for you guys to see. But I made a Santo Loco just simply because I make one every year because I like having a masked luchador in the game, and I like doing something different. And every year, I give him the same entrance. I give him Eddie Guerrero's, you know, lowrider intro and stuff. This year, I changed it up a little bit, and I swear to God, I'm playing with Horseman and Deadeye and Trey online. And Trey was the first person to see this before I played online with these other guys. But the intro consists of Eddie Guerrero's lowrider. Santa Loco is wearing a vest that says Santa Loco and has the flag on the back, okay? And he's wearing a fucking sombrero. And I shit you not, Trey sees it for the first time, and the first thing he says to me is, God damn, the only thing missing is a goddamn bag of oranges.
Damn.
And I about died laughing. And then me being who I am, I said, well, you know, Trey, I could give him Jake the Snake's entrance, and then he would have a bag.
Oof.
So, but he's got, like, the Mexican patriotic music from the game, from when you do the custom intro. So, he literally is, you know, he needs to be watching out for the federales when he comes down to the ring. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I think about what you said about the, what they're having the show, going to have DMX and his wife and Linda Hogan and her, and her, what, fiancé, husband?
Her fiancé, well, yeah. That 23-year-old guy. Chad Hill or Charlie Hill, whatever his name is.
I can see them all, like, sitting around in a little group, and the doc, like, tell her what's going on. And Linda started talking, and DMX jumped in. Hey, I can tell you what's wrong. Hey, yo, bitch, you're 50 years old. He's in his damn 20s. Your pussy's dried up. That's your problem, bitch.
Yeah, that's going to be epic. I might have to watch that.
I can see that shit, man.
Some crazy shit.
Like you say about the whole Ohio Valley wrestling, you know, I thought about it. That's why really ain't no new stars came up because they don't have that connection with them no more, because it's like take David Otunga. You can tell Trip Bates, you can tell the mindset he got. He's like, okay, you got the looks, you can talk, you know, you're married to Jenna Hudson, you got the star appeal. If we could just teach you how to fucking wrestle. And you can kind of tell that's the mindset they're going with David Otunga. What you think? They like, if we just teach you how to wrestle, you could be that next superstar. But you just can't fucking wrestle.
Well, exactly. I mean, the only reason they signed him was because he's Jennifer Hudson's boy toy. I mean, I think Vince McMahon got off on the fact that, oh, Jennifer Hudson, yeah, we can get her to sing the national anthem at WrestleMania. Oh, Jennifer Hudson. Oh, you know? It was the same thing with fucking K-Fed. When they brought him in, do you think it was because they wanted K-Fed? No. It's because they wanted Britney Spears. Okay.
Yeah.
And you see how that fucking went down. I mean, it's a joke. I have no problem with David Otunga. I think that I thought on NXT he had more personality than anybody there, and now they've got him as Carlton Banks. You know, he flopped in the Nexus. His in-ring shit is not that great. I feel bad for Otunga. I think they brought him up too quick.
You know, and then that go back to what you were saying earlier, how TNA did a smart thing picking up our Ohio Valley Wrestling, because it's like you said, I never thought about it when they broke off that relationship with Danny Davis, you know. I mean, I can't think of like the last superstar that they had brought up, you know, who just came right in and just like had like those wrestling skills.
It's been a while, man. Like I said, they utilized Deep South in Georgia, and then they utilized FCW. And, you know, Miz came through Deep South. I can't really think of anybody else. I think MVP came through Deep South as well.
Yeah. So, then another thing you said, but I enjoyed Trip H and Undertaker last year. It definitely stole the show. I don't want to see it again.
It's going to be hard to top it. Just like I enjoyed Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, both matches, but the second one was not as good as the first.
Well, now, I never agree. Well, I guess that was Sean going out party, but, you know, it was just so hard to duplicate that first one. I mean, I'm not never going to forget. I was in the sports bar looking at it, and, man, just the emotions just going through that sports bar, won that match. I mean, I can tell you like it was yesterday. So that's why I feel like, now, if you do it a third time, like, come on, man. I mean, what can they do to make it more dramatic than the last one? I mean, JJ, what could they do? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see anything they could do.
Unless both of them go out on a stretcher and there's no winner, and then what would you do? You'd have his last match be a fucking tie? I mean, when you look at it from a standpoint of, does The Undertaker lose his streak or does he keep it intact? Do they end it at 20 or do they keep going? I mean, with the health that this guy has, with the injuries that he has, you know, he's getting older. As much as I am a huge mark for The Undertaker, I think it's time that, you know, he moves on to maybe backstage, maybe an agent, maybe someone who might even go and train people at FCW. I think that, you know, he spends, you look at it, the last couple of years, he's showed up at WrestleMania, He's been gone for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. He comes back at the Rumble or in February, wrestles WrestleMania, and then he's out another 9 months, and then he comes back, and we got the same pattern. It's time to let it go. And I think it speaks volumes to let Taker go out there with a young guy.
I think
I think it speaks volumes to let him have a young guy, whether the young guy wins or not. I mean, think about it. If you're a guy like, for example, Wade Barrett, someone who was red hot his rookie year with the whole Nexus thing, and then has floundered because they've taken him out of that main event picture. If you're a guy like Wade Barrett, because you already see Sheamus has pretty much got the rub. He's already been champion twice. You know, he's going on to a good program where he's like the second fiddle on SmackDown. You know, he's a good talent to have around because he's going to be on top, really, I think, for the next 10 years. I think Sheamus is going to be a big acquisition for them. He's going to be a big superstar for them. You know, and I think he's got many more world title runs under his belt on the way. But you got a guy like Barrett, who kind of lost a step after the whole Nexus thing disbanded and he went to SmackDown, and he's kind of struggled for dominance. You put a guy like Barrett in there with Undertaker, whether he wins or loses that match, you know, if you have him come close to beating Undertaker streak, then, you know, you're making Wade Barrett a viable superstar by putting him in there with a guy like The Undertaker. If you put him over on The Undertaker, then you have made his career because he will go down as the guy that beat The Undertaker. You know, if Triple H was to beat The Undertaker and beat the streak, what's the point? Triple H is at the end of his career. He's been a, you know, what, 13-time world champion. He's done everything there is in the business. Why do you give that to a guy like Triple H? So, I mean, there's no incentive to have Undertaker lose to Triple H. It'd be stupid.
You have guys like me who be saying, like, well, did Triple H just break the streak because, you know, he's the boss backstage?
Exactly.
That still would be. And then, plus, I think with The Undertaker, the only thing it's really kind of hard to sell him beating the top superstar. Like, say if he did beat a Randy Orton, if he did beat a Sheamus, don't you think that's getting kind of... Cause I know last year a lot of people was like, okay, it's getting kind of hard to sell The Undertaker beating one of the top nine superstars. So what you think? Is it getting harder for them to sell that?
I think so. I mean, because he spends more time not there than on the roster. You know, he's there for that Undertaker, you know, match. The streak continues. And it's going to be bad when we have a WrestleMania where he's not there. And, you know, I mean, if he's not well enough this year, then, you know, you won't have it. But I kind of feel like, you know, a younger guy would be better off in that role. I mean, he's beaten every top dog in the WWE. And in some cases, he's beaten them twice.
Yeah.
I mean, you need something new for him. You need a new challenge. You need to build up somebody who is dominant enough to go after the Undertaker streak. A guy like Barrett, you know, say, or a guy like Sheamus. I mean, to me, a third time with Triple H is like, we've seen this, we've done that. You know, I mean, what can you do that we haven't seen before? It's kind of ridiculous.
I was kind of, you know, hoping that they'll let Y2J break it, but kind of hearing the rumors going around, it'll be Y2J versus CM Punk. I'm like, I mean, just for the promos alone leading up to the match, it's worth it. if it would happen.
Well, and it makes sense for Punk and Jericho when you think about it, because we're talking about Chris Jericho, who's been bitching a lot about guys stealing his promos or guys stealing aspects of his character, and he's right. You know, you go back to when Jericho dropped the Y2J gimmick, and then, you know, he went and saw
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, you know, and then he became that Javier Bardem character where, you know, he started talking slow and, you know, he was more methodical. You know, and then you look at the landscape, I thought Miz was doing just fine, and then now all of a sudden the Miz has kind of transformed himself into a Jericho ripoff. You know, he's not the Miz that he was a year ago because now he's using the big words and he's talking slow in the promos and he's more methodical. You know, and then you got CM Punk who's saying, oh, I'm the best in the world, something Jericho's been saying for about the last 2-3 years. You know, I'm the best in the world at what I do. So, I mean, I can see where that's going, and I think that from a storyline standpoint, it's a good idea to put them in there. Plus, they've got unresolved issues. Let's not forget that, you know, they recently brought up the fact that Randy Orton was the guy that caused CM Punk to drop the world championship But did we all forget that Jericho was the guy that won the world championship that night? And they never really expanded. So, I mean, there's unfinished business there. There's things they can do with these guys that I think will work. And Jericho and Punk will put on a five-star match regardless.
Yeah, I could see it being on the level like the Shawn Michaels-Kurt Angle match at WrestleMania. I could see it being on that high of a level. I mean, a match like that, it would definitely, and I hate to say it, it would steal the show from Rock and Cena. Because they would not, nowhere in hell, they would be able to do the stuff that Jericho and CM Punk would do in the ring that night. I'm sorry. It would definitely steal the show. But anyway, fellas, I'm going to go and let you close the show. But kudos to the last caller that you had Monday night. What was her name? Do you remember?
Oh, Miss Destiny.
Oh, man. On the archive, I done replayed her segment at least 10 times. I can't stop laughing. Okay. Now, that was a way to close out the show.
That was totally a way to close the show out. I have to say, Miss Destiny, last call of the night. That was awesome.
That was a way to close out the show. But anyway, fellas, you and Curve, y'all take it easy. I'm going to go back to my spot and hire some white people again. So y'all take it easy.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later, Mike. Have a good night.
All
right. I think before we close out here, I think we actually have one of the hosts of the show joining us. Sean, is that you?
Yeah, guys. How's it going?
You caught us right as we're about to go off the air. What's on your mind, man?
Nothing much. I was actually just got home, and I listened to the show a little bit while I was at work, and I was wondering how was SmackDown tonight.
It wasn't a bad show, man. I gave it a B. I really enjoyed it. I think they're setting up nicely for TLC this Sunday.
Nice. Can't wait for TLC. I mean, it's going to be a great pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, I got home. Like I said, I was like, the show's still on. I was like, wow, I'm a little surprised by that. But, I mean, you are about to go off, then I guess you can't end the show without me saying one thing. U4L, Unplugged for Life.
Perfect. What a great way to end the show. So I guess while I have you on the line, I'll go ahead and hit our outro music as we're getting ready to wrap things up. We got a little under 3 minutes to go before we're going to call it quits. But no, man, it was a good show tonight. You missed the touching tribute to the mixer board. I'm choked up, man. I have tears. Still, you know, trying to come down. I'm a little choked up. It was pretty special, man.
I'm sure. I mean, that was a good mixer. I mean, you can't do it without the original, and you lost the original. The original passed on to greener pastures, as the saying goes.
Well, like I said, you know, I've inducted it into the Hall of Fame, the SNS Hall of Fame. The first ever entry, because it deserves to be there, you know, and it's important.
Well, I mean, if that's the first entry, then there's only one other thing that can go in is the second entry.
What's that?
You. I mean, you deserve a spot in the SNS Hall of Fame.
Well, when I'm ready to pass the reins over to Lexi, then that's probably when I'll go ahead and join the Hall of Fame. I still have many years ahead of me.
Well, good. That's definitely what we want to hear. I mean, I definitely did hear a little bit. Like I said, I heard a little bit of Crowley. So, I mean, it was good definitely to hear the show back on the air. So, can't wait. Are we doing a show next week?
Yeah, we are doing a show next week. I mean, we do have a Crabtacular that weekend, too, but, yeah, we are going to do a show. Probably won't be a long show, but we'll do one on Friday.
Nah, that's all cool, because what I'll actually leave with before we do in the show is next week I have a bit of an announcement. What that announcement is, I can't really talk about it right now, but it's something me and Corelli have talked about, and
oh, okay, yeah.
It's something. What's that?
Yeah, it's a good I forgot what it was, but yeah, all good. I know what it is. I'm happy.
So next week, I will talk about this announcement, and I will definitely let you all in on what it is. But it's definitely something I'm looking forward to. So.
Very cool. Well, Crowley, you got any final words before we get out of here?
I hate Kane's new mask. It looks retarded. Like, there's a picture on .com of his old mask and his new mask. And his new one just looks like, it kind of looks like a bit like fucking Spider-Man gone wrong. I want the old mask. But apart from that, I still dislike Mason Ryan. Follow me on Twitter, HOHQuelly. And that's my cheap plug for today.
It's all the plugs you got, huh?
Yep.
I'm torn. I don't know what song of the night to go with. I you know, anybody got any suggestions?
No.
No.
Riddle Tune song?
No, we're not going to go.
That was Linkin Park.
That's not sad enough.
Oh, you play the song that they use for Ric Flair's retirement. Leave the memories alone.
Ooh, I think I have that somewhere. Hold on a second. I thought I had that song, but I do have one that works just as well. So on that note, I think we're going to get out of here. I'll see you guys again on Sunday for another episode of Sunday Night Showdown. We're going to be covering TLC, which is going to be standing for lots of talking, lots of liquor, and lots of comic relief. So that's SNS Presents TLC this Sunday with myself, Harmony Boom Boom Sexay, Mark the Shark DiCarlo, and, of course, the outlaw of the IWC himself, the lovable Trey Dog. Don't forget to tune in to some of the podcasts we have archived here on the site, Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman, the Elite Force podcast, both the midweek, and, of course, we'll have another edition on Sunday with Walkie and Mindwipe. Hopefully another edition of Why with Nim and crew will be up as well. So definitely check out those shows and support them as well. Don't forget to vote for the Wrestling Radio Awards over at WrestlingRadioAwards.com. I guess you can vote every hour now instead of once a day. So let's get those votes out there and let's dominate. Don't forget, definitely, there's one vote that we want more than anything. It's Shawn Michaels for Interview of the Year, because I think that one deserves it more so than anything else. So
I don't know how Shelley on WNL was up for the interview.
I'm lost on that one. She just called in. I don't know how that got there, and I don't know how Andy Knowles got screwed, because I know that you guys voted for that. I know for a fact that was voted on. I don't know what the deal is there, but I'm not real happy with that situation. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I voted every single day, and considering an interview that I produced made it onto the awards, and I know that only one person voted for that, it's a bit bizarre that the one with Mickie James didn't get on. I mean, because I even had Mickie James retweet it. So her fans were going on the, I don't know. I mean, that's quite bizarre.
It is. But on that note, again, I'll see you guys on Sunday. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend. And I'm sure Sunday is going to get stranger by the minute. Don't forget, Christmas Craptacular messages. Once I go off the air tonight, if you want to call the number, leave a message, you can do that. Just, you know, keep calling. It should you know, ring for a little bit, and then it'll go right to voicemail. And leave us your greetings for the Craptacular, because we're going to be putting that show together next week. So make sure that you pass the message along. If you haven't done it, do so, if you want to be a part of the Craptacular. On that note, on behalf of the sensational Sean, on behalf of, I can't believe I'm going to say this, the British broski.
Hell yeah.
Wait, what?
The British broski. It doesn't feel right, man. Fuck it. On behalf of the fucking foreign kid.
There we go. I'll dub it by Becky Bayless, that on the British Pokey.
Yeah, but dude, we named you the fucking foreign kid, so that to me, you got more of a rub off of that.
But a fit girl naming me British Pokey, or a bunch of dudes call me the fucking foreign kid.
If Zack Ryder calls you the British Pokey, I'll start calling you that. But for now, I'm with JJ.
Yeah,
the foreign kid stays.
No offense to Cookie, but really? Anyway, that's how we're gonna end the show. So on behalf of Sensational Sean and, of course, Chris Kelly of HeadlocksToHeadlines.com, I'm JJ, all caps sexy, Mr. Money on the Mic. And, well, you've just been unplugged. Good night, everybody.
U4L, unplugged for life.
Fuck you, I'm out.